He's a kung fu renegade cop.
I don't want to hear it, Kung Fury. I've just been to City Hall. You just destroyed an entire city block, for Christ's sake.
I quit.
Now he must defeat the most evil kung fu master in the world. Adolf Hitler, a.k.a. Kung Fuer.
Hitler. He's the worst criminal of all time. I need to kill him.
I can hack you back in time to Nazi Germany, just like a time machine.
Oh no!
I went too far back in time. This is the goddamn Viking Age. I'm a cop from the future. I need your help.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you!
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday play!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema.
Welcome to episode 127 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out on another wonderful hot summer Sunday afternoon. That's your weather report. Hope that helps you wherever you heard that. I'm chilling with Drew Cogburn. Drew!
What up, bro?
Mr. Cogburn, how you doing, dude?
Another week here.
Cinema Crespo Diso Studio 3.5, still driving around town in our temporary studio in Drew's, what was it, 84 Lincoln Cadillac? No, in Lincoln Continental? It was a Pontiac Sunfire. It's 82 Pontiac Sunfire. We got the equipment in the trunk. We're driving around. Drew's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. In the back seat, chilling with us is the one and only returning super guest, one of my favorites, our overlord. Soul Brother Kevin.
Episode 127, Soul Brother Kevin.
Yes.
Sitting in the back, Cadillac.
Yeah, dude.
It's a Pontiac, not a Cadillac.
So this is Studio 3.5.
Yes.
I'm a fan of that.
Oh, thank you.
Moving the studio, or every time you come, it's a different look.
You got to keep it. You got to keep
yes,
it.
You are.
It's like lady changing a hat.
It's like conspiracy theory. You can't get comfortable. You have to have traps everywhere.
Well, you know,
go.
Once they triangulate us,
well, that's a problem. Yeah. We are putting out a lot of electrical impulses here and signals and whatnot. Pretty easy for them to find us if they wanted to.
Oh yeah, they could shut us down.
And they're listening. They could shut us down.
Yeah.
Thank you, government, for not shutting us down.
Don't do it.
Oh, I shouldn't have called them out. Hey, you said their name. You should have done that. Now they know. Welcome back, Kevin. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
I'm here, and I'm already entertained by watching Drew just destroy a pack of Rolos. He just like
good.
Didn't even offer any of them. He's just like, all right,
they,
man.
They weren't for you. They were for me.
Yeah.
He just said, well, there you go.
That's what he does.
That's good, man. Where do you put them?
Exactly.
In my belly.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they disappear immediately.
I think there's a tiny black hole in there.
He's one of these guys who he's going to be rail thin until like 45, mm-hmm. and when his metabolism takes a dump, and then he's going to gain 40 pounds in his belly one year.
Yeah, just going to be still very svelte, but just a little bitty pot belly.
Yeah.
That's all right.
That's what happened to one of my uncles. He was like skinny for so long, and all of a sudden, bloop. Like, where did this come from, man?
I want to get the old man abs.
Old man
where
abs.
You kind of have a little pooch, but you still have the six pack on the outside.
Yeah, your abs are outside all the fat. Yeah,
like Hulk Hogan or something.
Yeah, exactly. Big orc, like you know, a Robert Mitchum type thing. That's 70s fit is what that is.
Yeah.
I could be 70s fit.
You're almost 70s fit.
No, I'm 40s fit. I'm like Babe Ruth fit right now. Give me a baseball bat, I'll hit one out of the park.
Hey, man, it's all water. You're just retaining water.
Oh,
it's a lot of water.
There's a lot of water and beer. All right, first off, before we get into everything, we got to throw out this. I'm not a big fan of doing this, but it's kind of a big name. Rest in peace, Christopher Lee. English actor Christopher Lee, who we would know him more as he was King Saruman, not King, or Wizard Saruman in the Lord of the Rings movies. Mm. He was Count Dooku in the Star Wars prequel films.
Dooku.
Dooku, the older white guy who had that fight with Yoda in the second one.
Harry Potter.
Was he any of the Harry Potters? I don't think he was.
Yeah, he was the headmaster.
No.
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 No. Headmaster was Michael Gambon. In the first couple ones, and then someone else in the, or something like that. No, Richard Harris in the first one.
Old white dude with a beard.
Old white skinny dude with a long beard, older fella.
I know who he is.
He played Dracula in the 70s.
Yep, that's Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula in a bunch of English movies in the 70s. The Hammer Films Company. That's what he was most known for the longest time.
How old was he?
93.
Oh, man, that's well.
And he actually had been dead for like 4 or 5 days before his family announced that they wanted to let all the family members know first.
Right.
So he died on like a Sunday. News didn't come out until like Thursday.
If you could guarantee me 93 right now, I'd take it.
So would I.
Yeah.
93. Man, I'd take average of 73 at this point.
I'll take it.
Just get me to the average. We're good to go.
Okay. The average? 73?
73, yeah, right now. Ooh, for people of a certain generation.
Better get moving.
Yeah. People born like now, like kids born these days, you know, as long as we don't nuclear annihilate ourselves, they're going to live to like 150, 200 based on the way science and medicine is developing and predicted to develop.
What? Yeah. Man, we got ripped off.
We did get ripped off.
We just had to go through the struggle.
We just missed it.
I don't want to live that long.
It could get boring, I think. You know, all these movies are like Wolverine wanders the earth and he's like so bored because he's immortal. He just wants to die. Poor guy.
Damn.
Yeah, that happens. Vampires. That's always the story of vampires. They're so bored.
I couldn't be a vampire, though.
It's too boring.
Yeah, and plus I like the sun.
Sun's nice.
Sun's good.
Sun is nice. Speaking of vampires, Christopher Lee, rest in peace. They finally got him. Stake through the heart. It's cool, though.
took him a while to get him, though.
He made it. He had a nice run. He had a pretty good run there. All right. So we got a lot to do. A lot of segments here. We're going to start with the best segment, one of my favorite segments, still. Drew, don't mind grabbing that crust piece of randomized 9,000. Time for the Netflix It's a Pick of the Week.
All right. The randomizer.
For the entertainment that you see. It's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go.
That scared the hell out of me. I was looking at Drew thinking, oh, sorry. Here you go.
Like, who's doing that?
Yeah, where's that come from?
Who's doing that? We got... The show's always evolving, Kevin. I got a new intro for you to hear that you haven't heard yet.
All right.
I started doing it. Got to talk about a new segment that I want to start doing. But we got a thumbs up. Go ahead. No, go ahead and tell people. That's an interesting choice. Go ahead, Kevin. Let everyone know. What's
the Aviator.
The Aviator.
Yeah, this is a great movie.
Let me go ahead and give it one of these. That's a good one. That gets one of these right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, one of those right there.
Yeah. Love the Aviator. Martin Scorsese is the Aviator. It is Howard Hughes' biopic.
Yeah, DiCaprio's the man. I mean...
He's turned into one of those guys.
He rarely... Name a bad DiCaprio movie. You can't really.
J. Edgar.
Okay, well, you know, he tried.
He tried.
Those character pieces.
The Beach of Bleach is okay.
Blood, as a whole.
Blood Diamond, you say?
I say Blood Diamond. but he does have a better record than most, absolutely.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, especially movies he's made with Martin Scorsese.
And he's banging Rihanna.
Is he?
He was.
For that. You know what I mean? He's banging everyone.
He's Leonardo DiCaprio.
He goes to that, where was it? Was it the Olympics where he shows up in Brazil and he has like 20 women with him on a boat?
Have you seen him lately? He's a little pudgy.
Good for him.
He's got that beard that kind of...
The beard is for a movie.
I don't care.
The beard is for a movie.
Oh, okay. I thought it was that I don't care.
I was about to say, is he all, I'm super rich and don't give a fuck?
There is a picture of him in that mode.
Yes.
Where he has sunglasses on. He's on the beach and he's running around the beach with a bunch of supermodels and he has a water gun and he's shooting the water gun in the air. He's smiling.
That ain't water.
He's a little out of shape, but he's so happy.
That's so rich.
Yeah, that's a very funny picture.
Video of him riding the streets of L.A. with a supermodel on one of those rent-a-bikes type of thing.
Yeah. Just living the life.
I mean...
Exactly.
He's DiCaprio.
You're literally DiCaprio. Why the fuck not?
He looked like he'd never been on a bike.
I think the beard is for a movie. I don't know if the pudginess is for a movie. The pudginess may just because he doesn't have to take his shirt off in the movie, so he went ahead and let everything go.
He doesn't care. He doesn't have to care.
In real life, he doesn't have to.
No.
Yeah. In movies, every now and then, he may have to get a nutritionist and bulk up. Like
that's what they pay him the big bucks for, to transform your body.
Yeah. Like Henry Cavill with The Man of Steel. Like, he went through a crazy workout regimen just so he could shoot one scene shirtless. So they built up to shooting that one scene, and then that day, like, he, after he was done, he went straight to the craft table, and, like, but had a mouthful of cheese.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot
when
of pressure.
when you are Superman.
Yeah.
Once the movie's done, and guess what? You're in the airport. You're still Superman.
People be like, "Hey, look at this Superman eating a Cinnabon."
You can't be doing that, Superman.
Cinnabons are delicious.
Well, now Superman's gonna be Napoleon Solo in that the man from Uncle.
Oh yeah.
Diversifying a little bit.
Okay.
So The Aviator is a long movie because it's a biopic. It's like 3 hours long, but it's
plus
amazing.
Flights are long anyway.
Flights are, you know, there's plenty of perfect times. Road trip, you know, cars come with Wi-Fi now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. And it's also, not only is it a biopic, but it's also Scorsese's like love letter to old school movie making, old school cinema. So if you watch the movie, you'll see the color palette changes throughout the film. It's because he's using different film stock and different chemical processes to replicate like film from the 40s, film from the 50s. And it's
okay. Well, but
it's weird.
I don't know if I would have noticed that. I would have just said, that's why, man, that film looked weird.
Yeah,
but in like, a good way.
Man, those peas were like kind of a flat blue instead of green. It's like, yeah. Well, that was a three-color Technistrip process at the time, you know.
But that's the kind of stuff that sells the movie to you without you even knowing.
Yeah.
You know, but for the movie nerds or like the people that are really into the minutiae,
yeah,
that's like, oh my God, he did this.
Yeah. He took that extra step that it's a crazy amount of work and so few people are really going to notice that overtly. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So even had a great movie. Also, it cast Kate Beckinsale as Ava Gardner, who's considered at the time the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
Pretty good casting.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could buy that.
Pretty good casting. So there you go. Aviator, great pick. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Well, I just kind of picked it out of the...
Which is...
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That was on you. It could have been any movie based on your finger movement.
I almost got the one that was next to it,
see,
but I didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, I was like, aha!
Sometimes you pick up two or three, you got to decide which one you want to hold.
Yeah, there's
on
one
to.
That was like 10.
Yeah.
All bundled up. I didn't know what was going on.
Exactly, you know? Man. That's why it's the randomizer.
And something bit me, too.
Yeah, you got
to
watch out.
Try to keep it fun. There's also a bunch of zonks in there. And and people have occasionally pulled one zonk at a time. But if you ever pull three zonks in a row, I'm kicking you off the show.
Oh, wow.
So
I got lucky.
Yeah, it would have been awkward. If you pulled out three zonks, I'm like, Kevin, thank you so much for coming. But you got to go. It would have been very awkward. And
get your gummy bears and leave.
Yeah, but fortunately, you didn't.
Gummy bears stay here. Just leave.
Forfeit the gummy bears. All right, let's get into that box office recap. Drew, you got some of those numbers over there? Some of those crazy numbers?
I have all of the numbers, Chris.
Some of those numbers are crazy, Kevin.
I
They're
bet.
All crazy.
Oh, my God. Drew, mm-hmm. What we got?
Starting off number five this week, Pitch Perfect 2 made $6 million.
Wow.
All right, yeah, good for them.
You know our good buddy, Cabin Boy, Matt.
Big fan of the first one.
He was a big fan, which I need to watch that movie just to see if that is weird for him or not.
You know who else
not.
Likes that movie?
Who?
This guy right there.
Okay, what's this? Real quick, what was it about, the first one, real quick?
Acapella singers, comedy.
I would not peg you for an acapella movie.
I caught on HBO.
Okay.
Yeah, but you ended up liking it.
So then you would like Glee.
No.
Well, isn't it just like Glee?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Don't know.
I didn't see it.
Where people are just like doing random stuff and they break out in song?
I don't think so. I don't think it's like that.
I wasn't in it for the music necessarily.
But it's still, you found it to be an interesting movie.
Is there some hot chick in there?
Anna Kendrick's pretty cute.
Yeah, Anna Kendrick's a good looking girl.
I might watch it just because.
It's a well-liked movie, that first one. People like it.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything bad about it, really.
All right.
And I've been meaning to get around. So for the same reason, because Matt likes it. And Drew said it was all right.
Yeah, but Matt likes beer. Was it beer?
Beer Fest?
Beer Fest. Yeah.
Awful movie.
Big man. Thank you, Drew.
I'd rather have a beer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather go to a beer fest.
Right.
Than watch a movie about it. That doesn't always work. Movies surrounded on just a substance.
Mm.
They can't all be half-baked. And even then, Dave Chappelle's very not happy with half-baked.
Mm-mm.
Drew, what's number four?
Number four, Insidious Chapter 3, made $7.3 million, total of $37.3.
All right. Well, those movies cost like $5 million to make. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so $30 million is like, all right, let's go. Let's make another one.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's what they do. Not really a fan of those types of movies.
No?
Nah.
Okay.
Number three this week.
All right, here we go. Number three.
San Andreas.
Really
made $11 million, total of $119.3.
$119 million for San Andreas?
So can't stop The Rock.
The Rock, man.
It made over $100 million last week.
I hear that The Rock is better than the movie.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just another, we're going to die, the world's ending.
It's like, remember 2012?
Yeah.
It's like all the boring parts of 2012. Not even all the good parts.
Why, really?
Yeah.
But I want like the Rock to win, though.
Oh, the Rock wins. He's a Rock. He always wins.
Okay. He defeats the Earthquake.
He defeats the Earthquake with a combination of helicopters, boats,
and he had
planes.
To smile at it, too.
He smiled at it. Yeah. But also, another scene, he cried. He cried a little bit.
Rock cried?
Rock had to cry a little bit.
I
got to
see it just for the Rock crying.
It was such a weird scene in the middle of nowhere. Him and his wife were chilling, and he just starts crying. It's like, oh,
man.
Talk about some family.
That guy is everywhere.
He is. Just rewatched Doom, where he terrible movie.
Why is it that
but
people
he's very rocking it?
Why is it that people have not gotten tired of The Rock? Like, I wasn't even a big wrestling fan, and people. I mean, he has that audience, but he has a whole new
now movie audience. I don't know. He's got it.
He's got it.
I think it's because he looks. He's not too black. He's not too Polynesian. He's not too. He's like
he's racially
ambiguous.
Ambiguous.
Yes,
enough.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that could
he's
be
a,
it.
He's also got it. Whatever it is.
He has that charisma factor. He's got.
It's more than him being ripped too. He's handsome. Yeah. He smiles at you.
He's funny.
Yeah.
He's well spoken.
And he's getting ready to be like a bad sports agent guy.
Yep.
What's it? Ballers.
Yeah. Baller. And that's gonna work too.
Yeah. Probably will.
Yeah.
It'll be based on him too.
And he's got a badass tattoo. That's it too.
He didn't even want to get all those tattoos. All those are all.
What do you mean?
Those are all traditional Samoan family
he
tattoos.
He didn't want them?
For the longest time, he held out on getting those, especially while he was still wrestling, because he didn't want to be all crazy like Samoan tattooed it up, but then trying to pull off different personas in the wrestling world.
He thought it was holding back.
Yeah, he thought it would be hard to cover up and shit. Also with movies too, but then his parents were like pushing him, like, this is a family thing. That culture over there, they got to do the tattoos. So over time, he's been adding to it because that's what his Samoan roots call for.
So they break out the bamboo sticks and
I wonder if you do it that old school. Like,
yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No wonder you wouldn't want to do it then. Like, man, this.
Someone I thought about getting one, but it wouldn't look right. Would not.
I when I was younger, I thought about getting like a tattoo sort of thing, but it would have been funny because I would have gotten something like across my stomach or whatever, like written on my stomach. Then I would have gotten fatter and fatter, and then it would just like spread out.
But you have to plan for that, though.
What it turns into big bubble letters.
Yep.
Yeah, man, get it really thin at first. So then, yeah. Or else big goofy bubble letters. Would have been like, anyway.
That'd be hilarious.
But The Rock is great, but San Andreas is shit. Just
watch
other Rock movies. And you know what? It made over $100 million. They're fine. They don't need your money.
People seem to like it.
People like him.
Ah.
People like him.
Okay.
The movie is like, I can't just. Even for what it is, a dumb B movie, disaster film, it's still like.
No. It's the same movie we've seen a million times about the end of the earth, so to speak.
Yeah, or a big, like, it's like the towering inferno or earthquake or something with nothing new added, just The Rock.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Coming in number two this week.
Number two.
Spy. Made an additional $16 million for a total of $56.9.
That's with, what's her name?
Melissa McCarthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was actually a good movie. I enjoyed it.
The Lady Chris Farley.
Chris Farley.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. Is it her in a spy role playing I'm a funny fat chick?
No.
Because I'm getting tired of I think she's funny. I don't think she needs to lean on I'm fat, watch me fall down.
There are no fat jokes in the movie. Legit.
Well, it doesn't have to be a direct joke for it to be around.
The role could have been played by any unassuming person, lady or man.
Okay.
The way it was written, actually, the director, writer-director Paul Feig, he initially didn't think Melissa McCarthy was going to be available because of a scheduling conflict. Mm-hmm. So he wrote that role for anyone. And then when she became available, he put her in there. Wrote it a little bit, but her size never comes into play. Only in maybe how it's kind of amusing to watch a bigger person get into action sequences.
I think that's the joke then.
But it's not really much of a joke. It's more like, oh, look at her. She's actually
what about
she's
in the trailer
doing stuff.
Where she gets in that little car thing and falls over.
That's just part
that wouldn't happen to a skinny lady.
That's just part of her, like,
she's a goofball.
It's her first time being out in the field. Yeah.
Is that it? She's like a
it's her first time in the field. She's not worldly in that. She's always like a stay-at-home person.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, you know,
is she playing like a country bumpkin?
No, like just kind of an American, but she's still also she tested well back in the days, and so she does have some innate skills that she just has to like try to recall.
You see interviews with her, she is serious about that fat lady business.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah,
she knows where her bread is buttered, literally and figuratively.
She don't take no shit either.
No, she doesn't.
I'm sorry I said shit.
Oh, yeah, this is a family podcast. This is a fucking family podcast.
Oh, hey, well, that's how the family got there. Fucking.
Yeah, exactly. What, are we going to deny this?
She.
Very European. Actually, they're weird about words over there in Europe.
They
don't like wanker. But they're fine with the twat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And strange. The radio rules are different, too. What you can say.
Yeah. You can't say douche over there.
No, you cannot.
Absolutely not.
Man.
Yeah. Douche McDouchington. Shout out to our UK listeners.
You can't say it.
We love you guys. You're great. With your funny
we
words.
Can say douche.
Well, at least they got it right, though, because a douche is a filthy thing.
It is a
really
thing.
Think about it. Like, it is really a. It's not even slang for something.
But so is so is scumbag, and people say scumbag all
What's
the time.
What's a scumbag? A rubber?
Yeah. A used rubber.
That is nasty.
Yeah, gross.
Bro. Oh, man.
Yeah. But people throw around words all the time.
Yeah.
Just can't say fuck, because if you say fuck and
a little child
hears fuck, then their brains explode from the inside and they become zombie killing machines.
Uh-huh.
That's why we have to
the word fuck.
That's why we have to protect the children. It's,
okay.
It's all about the children.
It is.
By the way, if you're under the age of 12 and you're listening to the show, email me cinemacrustpizza@gmail.com. I'll send you some stickers.
While you
send
they
you some
can,
fucking stickers.
They just heard the word fuck, they're gonna be zombies soon.
Well, it's okay. Yes. It's just like a movie. If your parents accompany you, then it's cool. So if your parents are listening,
yeah.
Then you're fucked.
A movie is R rated. You can take your kid into an R rated movie.
Exactly. Hell my yeah. dad took me and he would cover my eyes. Like, all right, that's cool. Nope. All right, that's cool.
It's like tits, nope, tits. Oh, violence is cool. Violence. Nope, no titties, no titties.
My dad would not cover my eyes.
Yeah, his dad. I was just like, here's a flask.
This will help you digest what you saw.
Here is Die Hard 2. Have a nice day.
Really? Wow.
But a spy is actually, it's actually pretty good, Kevin. I was surprised.
You were surprised?
I was surprised. I wasn't expecting much from it, and I laughed aloud quite a bit. Plus, it's actually a legit kind of spy action movie.
Well, like you like spy action movies, though,
I do
right?
enjoy them.
See, there you go.
Yeah, I do enjoy them. And it's very overtly in the Bond style. Which is interesting.
Oh.
Like, it even has a very James Bond opening theme song and
like,
opening credits.
Like Austin Powers?
Kind of along, but not as spoofy. No, more. It takes it more seriously than Austin Powers.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting movie. Uh-huh. When it comes around on Redbox, or what do you get? You got a boxy? What are you doing over there?
Oh, yeah, I got all
You
got to
get
stuff.
Your stuff.
Yeah, I got all that shit at the house right now.
Keep an eye out for that spot.
I will.
I think you'll actually enjoy
it's
it.
It's actually up.
Is it
on my go-to site?
It's got to be like a cam version.
No, my friend.
How do they get them?
I have no idea, but I thank them.
Yeah. Wait, does it have like Thai subtitles on it or something? Sometimes
it's Chinese subtitles, and sometimes there's unfinished parts of the movie.
I saw the first Wolverine movie. I saw that unfinished one.
I couldn't do that.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was insane. There was like whole scenes where it was just wire backgrounds, like the digital wires.
Yeah.
And you know, instead of things being painted in, it's just like a plane goes by and it's just like a box. Yeah.
But sometimes when you see that, it makes you appreciate what
the work
these people are doing. Right.
I wanted to see the work that went into it.
Yeah. The nuts and bolts.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually very fascinating. Still wouldn't recommend pirate movies because, like we said, the government's listening. Government is always listening. So that was number two. Before we get to number one, because I know what number one is. So where did Mad Max fall this week?
Number seven.
Wow.
Number seven. Give me some numbers on that.
Made $4 million, total of 138 domestic.
138. It might crawl to 150 domestic. How many theaters is it in?
It's still in 2,200 theaters.
Oh, decent amount of theaters. What was the plus minus? It went down. I'm sure they took away screens because of Jurassic World.
They took away
World.
486 screens.
That's not bad. It's still playing all around the
but
country.
Other movies lost. I mean,
other movies lost more.
Pitch Perfect 2 lost more screens this week.
Yeah.
Spy lost more screens this
it's
week.
It's all about the screens.
It is. The screen count, which is part of the reason why number one did so well. But Mad Max, the reason I bring up Mad Max is because Drew and I went to go see the number one movie of the weekend on Friday night. Right? We got there like the theater like 8:15 for an 8:30.
Right.
The 6:30, the 7:30, the 8:30 all sold out, and all the theater was packed.
Wow.
So we were like, shit, man, it's sold out. What are we going to do?
Let's go see Mad Max.
Drew was
again.
Just like, you want to go see Mad Max for the third time?
Like it, third time? Wow.
It just
is
started.
Is it that good?
It is that good.
Okay, I got
to
see it.
Yeah, I mean, I sat down to watch it. We were like 10 minutes into it, so the action was just really getting ready to start. Because the whole movie, it's a two-hour chase
scene.
We just
missed the first scene.
We just missed the opening scenes. And I'm thinking, all right, like now that's my third time. I'm going to pay attention to like the music. I'm going to pay attention to George Miller's use of POV shots.
Okay, so you're like getting something different. You're looking for something to get something out of different every time.
That's the thing. I was going to be like, I'm going to try to get more out of this time. I spent like the first 15, 20 minutes of the watching the movie, like picking things apart. I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I never noticed that.
You say you just watched.
And no, but then I just got sucked into it. And the rest of the movie, I'm just like,
awesome.
I'm just watching it. My brain stopped thinking and I just started absorbing it all again. It's so good.
Isn't it weird when there's a movie you've seen a million million times, and then you watch it for the million and first time, and you go, wait a minute, I never saw that. What?
Yeah, little details. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible, because this is the type of movie where it's so jam-packed and linear, and so much is going on that there's a lot of information packed into a lot of these scenes.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, man, Kevin.
A lot of information.
It's good.
It's bueno. It's
like good. The Simpsons ride at Universal. You ever been on that?
Yeah, dude.
Like, there's shit going on there's all shit. Around you. You got to be like, okay, next time I'm just going to look to the left.
Yeah, the mad jokes. A lot of jokes in the rides. Like, or in like a Transformers type ride.
Yeah,
There's things going on in the background. Like, what do you say? And then there's a missile coming at you, and then it's really hot.
The Simpsons ride was trippy, though. It made me feel like I was on something.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's a weird one. How it's crazy. It's a big dome screen thing.
Oh, man, it's awesome.
And then you go inside Maggie's mouth, and she's sucking in like a pacifier, and then it smells like a baby.
I love that. I love that.
So how do they do that magic?
Yeah, that's nice.
Theme park magic. I love theme parks. Talking about Universal theme parks, Drew, the number one movie.
All right, so I just want to put this out there first.
This is crazy.
This is crazy. This week, total weekend domestic box office was $268 million.
Yikes.
Right? Yeah. That's all the money made at the theaters this weekend. Of that $268 million, 204 of it went to Jurassic World.
God damn.
Man.
Dude. That's crazy.
You can't stop them dinosaurs.
Only the second movie ever to have a $200 million opening weekend.
Wait. So, was this on anybody's list to be biggest?
I don't think so.
In the contention for biggest movie?
I haven't seen a single article, a single tweet. I never saw anyone positing the box office potential of this movie. I was thinking upwards, high end, $100 million. Mm-hmm. I was like, this could be one of the few $100 million opening weekends. $200 million!
But this is like fucking with like Avengers type stuff.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
This is Iron Man territory.
You and Matt were debating that it was going to be what?
Well, we were debating Avengers versus Star Wars. And Avengers,
that hasn't happened.
And yet. Avengers Age of Ultron had a $186 million opening weekend. And I'm saying Star Wars maybe won 120-130.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a summer versus Christmas type thing.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, nothing to do with the movies themselves.
Okay, I thought you guys had a summer blockbuster bet.
No.
What was supposed to be before?
Avengers. It was supposed to be Avengers. Avengers. That was supposed to be number one this week.
Yeah, nothing was supposed to open bigger than that. No one, especially Jurassic Park 4. That's weird. That's crazy.
It's different, though.
Is it
it's not superheroes. It's stuff you haven't seen before. The animals or whatever you want to call them.
And the marketing was huge, too.
Yeah.
They even did a special presentation of Jurassic Park on NBC a week ago with Steven Spielberg and Chris Pratt like introducing it and talking about Jurassic World and shit on TV.
I just saw a news report yesterday about dinosaurs where they were saying that most of them had feathers, I think, now.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
That's been confirmed. Yeah.
Because birds are descendants of dinosaurs.
Yes.
What about crocodiles?
Crocodiles are still dinosaurs. Crocodiles and have
what
been,
about alligators?
They never crocodiles have never gone extinct. They've been around for millions of years.
Yeah.
You can't stop no crocodile.
And then in the movie there's even a quick throwaway line where they're in the lab where they make the dinosaurs and they mention how it was talking it's like the guy who owned the park, whatever. It's like you didn't want realism. You didn't want dinosaurs the way they really look. You know, you want these dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. As in these are the ones that the kids and us, as we know them from.
Okay, this is the guy at the park saying.
Yeah, this is the guy at the park. So they're kind of throwing out there that we know that dinosaurs are supposed to have feathers on them, but that's not what people want to see in this park, i.e., this movie.
Right.
So they acknowledge it in a weird way.
This is set when?
20 years after the events of Jurassic Park. So almost because the movie is over 20 years old.
Same island?
Yeah.
Same island.
But they don't have my dude, the old dude.
He's dead.
Spare no expense. Yeah,
Rich Attenborough died a couple years ago.
But, I mean, he's not even in the movie either.
There's a statue of him. They reference him a couple times.
Yeah. Like our founder.
Yeah, absolutely.
They show the cane.
They go back to the old park for a second. They even say, they're in the old park.
Yeah, they even find, like, where the island is. Jurassic World is, like, up in the front, the theme park, Jurassic World.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point in the movie, they stumble across the ruins of the original Jurassic Park, like, back in the jungle somewhere on the island.
Did they set it up and tell you why this exists now and why they redid it or what?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Oh, man, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the movie straight up, like, it's 20 years later. The theme park is up and running. They're getting 20,000 visitors a day. on this island. You know, they have to ferry everything in. Mm-hmm. And the movie centers mostly around two brothers, like a high school age kid who's all about like iron chicks. And mm-hmm. then his younger brother was like the really annoying one who's like, let's go ride the dinosaur runs. I'm a scaredy pants. Yeah, that type of guy. My mm-hmm. parents are getting divorced. I'm sad. That's a weird scene.
20,000 people a day. That's about right if it really exists.
For a theme park, especially
because everybody like would be trying to get to that thing.
But you got to travel to it. I'm sure it's a certain cost. But and then also, you know, it's a Universal movie. When they do a flyover of it, I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, that's like
totally
that's designed by the people who did the Universal theme parks and City
just
Walk.
You could tell.
It's okay,
like it looks like I'd be able to walk through that in a couple years.
Yeah,
at Universal.
Yeah, it looks like a schematic for an operating theme park.
All they need is dinosaurs.
All they need is dinosaurs. Insert fake dinosaurs, and you have Jurassic World. They can expand that.
We need at least guys in suits.
Well, they did. They have the new one over there, Raptor Encounter, over at the Jurassic Park at Universal.
They have
a thing where I think it's a dude in a puppet. It's like a puppet thing, mm-hmm. and you can take your picture. It's like you get by the fence, and it's right by the foliage, the shrubbery, and then like the dinosaur like pokes its head out, but it's interacting with you and shit.
It's like, hello, Chris.
I hope so. It talks. It's like, hello. Are you enjoying the Blues Brothers experience?
That would be trippy.
So the park is open. The two brothers are there. And they go off track at the exact same time that a genetically modified dinosaur that's going to be a new attraction, mm-hmm. but it's not unveiled yet. It breaks out of its enclosure and starts running.
Course.
Yeah, of course it does. And it starts just wrecking shit all over the island.
And this is a dinosaur they made.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, see, that's where they fucked up right there.
Exactly.
Part this and part that and part this.
Yeah, and then they reveal the different parts of it throughout the movie.
Not enough that they brought actual dinosaurs back to life. They had to make a new one, like a Franken dinosaur.
Which is the point. That's the point of several characters making the movie. And then I've read interviews where the director has been like, this is also a parallel to blockbuster movie making. You know, Jurassic Park came out in 93, 94.
Yeah.
And that movie was enough then. Like, oh, look, they made a movie with dinosaurs and it looks incredible. This is amazing. Now at Jurassic Park 4, just to have dinosaurs in your movie isn't enough.
Yeah.
Just with any sequel.
It's got to be over the top.
Any sequel has to be bigger, badder, and crazier. So that's a whole parallel there. And, you know, and that isn't necessarily a good idea. Jurassic World posits. No, it's not.
Okay, well, where did this movie let you down? Why wasn't it the most awesome thing?
The dinosaurs are all, it's you can just tell it's all CG.
Really?
Yeah. There's maybe...
See, that's why I watch without my glasses.
So it looks a little worse? Yeah.
No, it looks better. It looks
more real. There are at least two scenes where I thought, oh, they might actually be using some sort of puppet or animatronic. Not a puppet, but like a giant animatronic thing or, you know.
I thought you meant like a dude with a sock.
No, definitely not. Yeah, with just
I'm gonna eat you.
The Google eyes glued onto it. Yeah, no.
All right.
No, but it's actually a couple, maybe two scenes where it looked like they used practical effects. Everything else, anytime a dinosaur is like really moving, it's like it just looked almost real, but you could still tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But well, earlier movies looked kind of real though.
Well, we just rewatched some of the earlier ones on TV. You could tell when they use a real.
Yeah.
Like a practical,
like they built the head
when
or
they
stuff,
built
right.
it. Yes, and it pops into this frame.
Man,
like,
I don't notice stuff like that.
It annoys me when I see stuff.
Okay,
like that.
All
right, right?
Maybe
right.
you looking too hard.
Am I? No,
Drew? No, is that
nope,
obvious?
It is. Maybe your eyesight's just that bad.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Where are your glasses at?
Because I thought the best. I thought like what's the movie? The Clash of the Titans. You know how that was. You know.
Yeah, those movies don't look good either.
No, I mean, no, that's the worst example.
Oh, yeah, well, the 3D, too, is like, that shit was terrible.
Claymation.
Yeah, it doesn't, you mean the original
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the original one.
At least, here's my argument with the claymation. At least it's a physical thing that they're lighting and you can actually see it on a set. Sure, it's moving like it's all weird, but it still doesn't look like a video game.
Oh, man.
It's weird. It's weird. And then the relationships between the brothers, it's like an ill-defined relationship, right, Drew?
That and I mean all the deeper things that they were trying to say about the dinosaurs and this, that, the other,
like
and,
the ethics.
And should we be playing God? It just all fell flat.
Yeah, like they didn't explore anything.
They didn't do a good
level.
Job of explaining it. Of
they threw too much in there without exploring. Like so, there's some stuff about militarization.
So they're trying to be deep, but it just wasn't deep enough.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They should have gone one way or the other. They should have gone. They drop all that shit and just be like, this is a chase movie about a rogue dinosaur.
Uh-huh.
Or they should have developed more of the ethical ramifications and Vincent D'Onofrio wants to weaponize the dinosaurs for the military.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's, yeah. That's great. They're already weapons.
They are, right? He's like, we can train the raptors and send them out into Afghanistan to get our enemies.
Yes. Oh, that would have been.
I'll see that movie.
Yeah.
I'll see.
Open it up in Dubai.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll see dinosaurs with like helmets and laser cannons on there.
Laser raptors.
Kevin, you got
laser raptors.
You got to see Kung Fury.
Kung Fury. What's Kung Fury?
Kung Fury is a 30-minute short film that's on YouTube. They put it out about 2 weeks ago for free, and it's a throwback 80s thing, but it's so
over the top.
About a time traveling cop who he has to hack through time to fight the Kung Fuhrer. And there's
some kung fu in this.
Oh yeah,
there's kung fu. There's
Nazis,
dinosaurs,
laser raptors,
Thor, laser raptors, yeah.
Thor.
Yes,
barbarian chicks, Viking barbarian chicks with machine guns,
Triceracops.
So it's everything.
It's everything.
All on top of each other.
It's and it ends with a sweet David Hasselhoff song that he did specifically for this thing.
And it's surprisingly amazing.
Kung Fury.
All right, I've heard of this.
It's good.
It popped a couple weeks ago and it made a big splash. We figure it's going to be on like Adult Swim pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. I'll remind you about it. I'll bug you until you actually watch it. So yeah, Jurassic World. It's like, you know, depending on how big of a fan you are, I think I would say it's better than Lost World and Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, definitely.
But oh, that, wow. Okay.
The first one.
Well, then I think I'll like it if it was, because those were doable. I didn't feel like I wasted my time.
That's the thing.
This is better than both of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad movie at all. I've seen some people say that they didn't like it.
But
whatever,
no Samuel Jackson, though. No.
That's another thing. Yeah. I rewatched some of the original the other day. I was like, oh, that's right. Samuel Jackson is. And he's smoking.
Yep.
And he's like, hold on. Freaking out.
He loses his arm.
Yeah. It's like, man.
Tell me about the product placement,
because everywhere.
The first Jurassic Park is the first time we saw the Ford Explorer.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I remember.
Huge Jeep stuff,
a bunch of Mercedes in there in the beginning.
Mercedes,
yeah,
they used that in. Mercedes.
Also, the thing is though, it's done by Universal, who owns a theme park. When you go to the Universal theme park, you're already so used to theme park branding that they stay true to theme park branding in movies.
Okay, so it feels like you went to Universal, basically.
It's almost like, you know how these days when you play a sports video game and you do the halftime report and it's a Toyota halftime report.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's blatant product placement, but it makes it feel real.
Yeah, because we're so used to it. Okay, yeah. I see.
Same thing. It's when they're going over the island, it's like the Samsung Welcome Center or something.
They had at one point that stuck out to me was the Pteranodon, something like that.
Pteranodon.
One of the dinosaurs.
That's a rapper, man.
The IMAX experience. And it was a big IMAX theater. And it was huge, like very prominently placed.
But if they did fake products, it would seem
stand
fake.
Out. Yeah,
right.
It would stand out. But instead, there was a Margaritaville in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like for real.
So you get a cheeseburger while you're running from a dinosaur.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So they knew what they were doing for sure. A movie like that got the budget there for this movie. What, like one? I would peg it at like $175 trillion. It almost seems that way sometimes. I would peg this at somewhere like $175-200 million budget for sure.
Well, they're making it back.
They are. Oh my god, it's on its way to $200 million opening weekend. Anywhere between $800 to $1 billion.
So
domestically.
So why is this movie crushing it? Is it crushing it because
I think it's a combination of nostalgia, and marketing
and a new generation.
The kids are young enough now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when did Jurassic Park 3 come out? Like 2000, 2001. So their kids went to see this movie, weren't even born when the third movie came out.
Right.
Yeah.
So to them, oh my, a dinosaur movie. There hasn't been another one as far as they know.
In theaters.
Right.
Yeah. It's their Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like when younger kids saw the Star Wars prequels. All the adults are complaining, oh, these movies suck. But the little kids are like, these movies are great.
Yeah.
Like, these are Star Wars movies.
Exactly.
Then you show them the old ones, they're like, these are boring.
It's not for us, but they still get our money anyway.
Yeah. Geniuses. Yeah. So smart.
And you don't really have to sell a dinosaur movie. You don't really have to sell it.
It's not like they make so many of them.
Right.
You know. It is a feat to even... Whenever I see a dinosaur in a movie, I'm like, ooh, I get that little kid-like feeling inside. Like, oh, a T-Rex.
And I think, too, the graphics and stuff you guys talk about and the CGI, I don't think kids see it like that. It looks real to kids.
I think they're more used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're see, oh, that looks cheesy. They don't know. They're just caught up in it.
They may just be more adjusted to seeing CG in a movie because they grew up with that shit, whereas we grew up with, like, Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. So we're more used to seeing practical effects with the little hinky movements here and there that we kind of just gloss over.
Right.
You know? There's a give and take no matter what you're doing. It's almost impossible to make effect, like, look seamless.
Oh, yeah.
Only the masters can do that shit. But I would say, yeah, you know, if you're a fan of Jurassic Park, it's worth seeing, like, a matinee.
Okay.
You know,
so I'm not
going
to walk out of it and go, man, what the hell was that?
No, but you're also not going to walk out of it and be like, oh, man, that was amazing.
Okay.
You're going to be like, yeah, those dinosaurs. Well, that's how I felt.
You might be surprised at what I'm amazed at.
Right. Well, fair enough.
Sometimes the bar is really low.
It is art.
At 70% fresh.
Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, 70%. What's the average rating?
Average rating of 6.7 out of 10.
Hmm. I would put it at like 6 out of 10, 6.5 out of 10. What about you, Drew?
I'd put probably around 6.5, 7.
6.5, 7. So, okay.
All right.
Yeah. What's the consensus on the Rotten Tomatoes?
Jurassic World can't match the original for sheer inventiveness and impact, but it works in its own right as an entertaining and visually dazzling popcorn thriller.
All right.
Pretty much what we said.
Pretty much what we said.
It's always kind of hard to top the original.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
They all can't be Fast and Furious.
And they even throw back to the original in this one.
A bunch of times.
There are straight-up scenes where it's just like, oh, hey, look, now it's this dinosaur in that spot.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the same dinosaur.
Yeah.
He's just been sitting here, wake up!
Wake up! Time for your close-up. Yeah. Like, here we go.
I'll eat you.
Yeah. It was good enough. Listen out for our Jurassic World spoiler episode. We're going to release a Wednesday night. If you're listening to the show after the Wednesday coming up, that means it's already out there. So it came out already, so download that and check it out. Thank you very much. New movie is coming out on DVD, Chappie.
Chappie.
That's sweet. South African Short Circuit.
Mm-hmm. yeah, that's it.
Actually,
yeah.
Closer to South African Short Circuit 2. Because it involves like street gangs and stuff.
And that's Johnny Five.
Johnny Five Alive.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm Alive. I'm Chappie.
Yeah. And this one is I Am Chappie. I'm Alive. So it's the same thing.
Same people who made
District 9 and Elysium.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about those.
I do know how you know how I feel about District 9. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting feelings about that one. Chappie's okay. It's like, you know, it could have been better. There's scenes I like about it. There's things I like about it. But If you watch it and you don't like it, I ain't going to defend it.
You know? Right.
Yeah, it's like, that's okay. Cool. You don't like it, that's cool.
That's all right.
It's got things about it that I like enough that I'll watch it, but, you know, hey, different strokes. Run All Night. This is that Liam Neeson, Ed Harris movie.
Yeah, is that good? I mean, what's that about?
Okay.
What's the set it up?
So with Liam Neeson, no, Ed Harris's son and Liam Neeson's son, like they know each other. Ed Harris and Liam Neeson, they're like part of the same mob. Liam Neeson works for Ed Harris, but now he's like an old drunk. Mm-hmm. Ed Harris's son goes to kill Liam Neeson's son, but Liam Neeson kills Ed Harris's son.
And then Liam Neeson gets all bad. He's all badass.
Yeah, yeah. And he has to protect his kid from dying, like, throughout the course of the night. Ed Harris is like, I'm going to send all my guys to go kill this dude who was my friend and his son because my son is dead. So this whole, like, backstabbing thing.
So that's what Liam Neeson does now. He's just old badass.
I saw an interview with him recently where he said he's going to try to do a bunch of these for the next couple years when he hits, like, 62, 63. He can feel it. He's at the end of his line. So he wants to squeeze out a few more action movies before he can't do them
anymore. He's like a modern-day Charles Bronson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bronson was doing them, like, into his late 60s, wasn't he?
And he was believable.
Which is a weird thing. I think that's that Mongolian in him. that tough Mongolian. Yeah, because he was a tough dude.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. And you usually, I mean, he was like, it went away because at first old guys were like tough, like, I don't want to fuck with that guy.
Yeah.
And then it's like, shut up, old man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it's back to, now oh, back old to, man, we'll fuck you up.
Back to respect the old guys.
Right.
Yeah, like the Expendables movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Denzel, he's in that territory now because he's 60. Just did the Equalizer a couple years ago. That might have been his most like badass action type role.
In a while,
since Man on Fire, right?
Man,
yeah, I love that movie.
I want to see Denzel do something different.
No. He doesn't. You mean different from?
Usually, it's just another Denzel movie. You know,
well, he always plays Denzel.
Denzel's playing Denzel.
He's playing variations of Denzel.
I think so.
Sometimes he's drunk Denzel. Sometimes he's indignant Denzel.
But he always. No one ever gets the best of him, though.
No, never.
Never.
No.
No.
I mean, if they do, not for long.
Yeah, exactly. He wins in the end. It seems.
Training Day.
Well, he was the man for most of the
movie. For most of the movie.
Yeah.
For most of the movie, he was the man.
Yeah.
Usually he comes out on top. Like that Two Guns. You ever see that one with Mark Wahlberg? Him and Mark Wahlberg?
No, because, you know, I don't like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he's a...
He's definitely a certain flavor of an actor there that I can see some people being turned off by.
Who, Wahlberg?
Yeah.
He seems like he's a dick.
I don't mind him. He definitely does come across as a dick in real life sometimes.
Like, I seem, and even in the Ted movie, like, he seems like he's really trying to be, like, not dick, not be a dick.
Like, trying to be
hey, I can play along. I can be cool.
I can be a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I can make jokes.
It doesn't seem like he jokes at all.
Yeah. Nope. In Entourage, he comes across as a bit of a psychopath. And, like, the one scene that he's in. And that's way more believable.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Also, in the Entourage movie, in the dialogue, he drops in there, my show Wahlburgers on A&E.
Yeah, he does.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's really trying to help his family.
Talk about product placement. Yeah, he mentions his mom. It's like his mom on my show, Wahlburgers on A&E. And I'm just like, this fucking...
But he's playing him, though. So
this movie end.
But yeah, he is, well, okay, well, see, I'll let him slide because he's being himself.
Yeah, and he's also an executive producer on it, so...
I like his other brother.
Donnie?
Which one was in...
Sixth Sense? In the beginning?
Which one's on the block?
New Kids?
Yeah. Wasn't there one that was in Scream? Not Scream. One with the puppet mask and that guy. And
Scream is one with the mask?
No.
Saw?
Saw movies? He was in one of the Saw movies.
He was in one of the Saw movies. They had Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie. Yeah. He's got a hot wife, right?
Who's Jenny McCarthy?
Oh, I didn't know it was her.
Yeah, they just got married.
She's annoying.
Extremely.
Okay.
Extremely annoying.
And she doesn't want me to vaccinate my kids either.
She wants them to get the measles.
Yeah.
Unless you want to risk autism.
Whatever.
Because, you know, no science. You need science when you have Playboy credentials.
Yeah, seriously.
That's what it is.
Yeah, good for her. And that Vince Vaughn comedy Unfinished Business comes out.
Oh, man. Have you seen that?
No, didn't see it. It wasn't reviewed well either, so.
I hear he's all Vince Vaughn-y in that movie.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
I want to see how Vince Vaughn he is in True Detective Season 2. The reviews for that aren't too hot.
Because it's Vince Vaughn.
Probably.
I'm telling you, man.
It's possible.
He's going to do that Vince Vaughn thing, like opening scene.
He could. Over the top Vince Vaughn. I like understated Vince Vaughn.
I do too, if I'm going to watch him.
I would think, though, with the tenor of a True Detective type show, he would be a muted, more understated, like The Cell Vince Vaughn.
When as soon as this comes out and everybody's like poo-pooing the second season, mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and watch the first season.
And then you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
So good.
It is really good.
Well, everybody says I like to tuck away stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that. It's a slow build, mm-hmm. that first season. But by the time you get to episode 4.
That's what you say, episode 4.
Yeah, episode 4 is one where if you're not into it by the end of that one, then yeah, you can just
It took
watching.
4 episodes, Game of Thrones, it took the 4th episode for me to be like, what the fuck is all of this? I can't understand these guys. Whoa.
It took 3 episodes for me to really get into Breaking Bad, 3 or 4.
It took 3 or 4 for me as well.
Yeah, nothing happens like that right away.
Yeah,
that's very rare.
It didn't happen until Tuco came on.
For me, the only show where that ever happened was Eastbound and Down.
What?
When I saw the pilot of Eastbound and Down, and when it was over, I was convinced that I had just seen the greatest pilot in the history of pilots. It was so good.
The first episode that got me too.
Yeah, that very first episode was so good.
And then you realize that the entire time he's basically recounting his. He's telling his story through those motivational books.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. He's awesome. Chapter 2.
That was so funny.
I thought about watching that again.
Makes me want to go
the
back.
Beginning.
I never saw the last season where the TV show. The
you didn't see the last season?
No. Like you said. Like
Wait
you said,
until
Kevin,
you see the finale.
Tucking things away.
The finale is.
It's ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. Yes. Oh, I can't even describe it.
You have to get up. Have to get back on that. All right, Drew, what's come out in theaters?
Really only 2 movies. There's this rated R comedy called Dope.
Dope.
Coming out.
Oh, I heard about Dope.
Looks pretty good.
Dope was the big breakout hit from Sundance back in January. Made huge waves when it came out. People loved it. Enough where some people put out some interesting think pieces about it, about the cultural implications of the movie and stuff.
Okay, I've been reading a couple of things on Dope. So much so, like in the past couple of months, that I thought it was already out, and I've been looking for it, and I can't find it. I'm like, when is this coming out?
Because it was out in festivals. It played a bunch of festivals.
And then they had a premiere for it the other day, and there's a big series of pictures and stuff online.
Yeah.
From the
red carpet thing?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, when is this movie coming out?
So this weekend. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah, that looks good.
I love some Dope.
But that's not going to be the number one movie of the weekend.
Nope, number one movie of the weekend is going to be Pixar's newest,
Most
Inside
likely.
Out.
Yes, their newest animated adult film.
Okay.
Great idea. It's basically...
But it's not an adult film, though.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. The excuse me. Remember that show Herman's Head?
Yeah.
It's basically Herman's Head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it all takes place inside the mind of like an 11 or 12-year-old girl, and her emotions are split up into like five basic emotions, and they're characters in her head, and they're running... The Eddie Murphy movie, Meet Dave.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one. I love Eddie Murphy, but so that's why I didn't see that.
There you go. Yeah. So it's pretty much, it's a combination of Meet Dave and Herman's Head.
Herman's Head was funny.
It was a crazy
movie. I thought it was,
show.
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah. I liked the fat guy.
Yeah. What was he? Was he gluttony or something like that?
He was gluttony.
He was like the impulses.
He was also the one that kept running into Bill Murray in Groundhog Day with the weather.
Steven Tobolowsky? Yeah. Needle-nose Ned?
No, not him. The guy in the inn asking him about, do you think it's going to snow today? And he goes,
oh, yeah, the fat guy.
That's the only thing, two things I know him from. Yeah.
What else has that guy been in? Yeah. I feel like I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but I can't think of anything.
Was he on that show that, Head of the Class? Was he one of the guys?
Was he that fat? I don't think he was that fat.
No, he wasn't that fat.
That was a different fat guy.
Yeah, yeah. Every fat guy's not the same. I'm sorry.
That's cool. We don't take offense. All right, so. Inside Out is going to be a pretty big deal. Probably end up checking out. So next week, Inside Out and Dope. That's going to be a very interesting double
Inside
feature.
And Out the Dope.
Let's take a quick break here. Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs. First, the main theme song from Jurassic Park. Oh. From the original Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and play that. People can imagine dinosaurs. And then I'm going to follow that up with a random track off of the Mad Max Fury Road soundtrack. One of the more exciting scenes with the drums, like crazy sound.
Did you know that today is the 30th anniversary of Jaws?
40th.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah. They're doing a Fathom Events special screening this month, like the 22nd.
I was off 10 years.
That's cool. It's only a decade. All right. Give or take a decade. 30 years, give or take a decade.
But I was going to say, I thought I saw it in the theaters, but that's not possible.
You might have seen a re-release.
I probably did see
it. They did that way more often back before VHS and home video took hold in the
80s. The only way you could see it, I guess. Yeah,
exactly. They used to do re-releases of Gone with the Wind every 10 years. It came out in 39. They put it again 49, 59, 69 because
still made a bunch of money every time.
Shit ton of money.
Yeah. Amazing. The technology screwed all of that up.
Yep, fuck that. Now you can watch it once or not even watch it. Just wait for it to stream directly to your Xbox or PlayStation.
Or your phone.
So easy. I like to watch Lawrence of Arabia on my phone. I figure when they made that movie, this is exactly the format they were expecting people to watch it on a 6-inch screen, holding up to my face with earbuds, with cheap earbuds that I got for $10 at CVS. That's a joke. I get my earbuds at Walgreens. So here we go. Listen to these two songs. We'll be back in the second half. Got a lot to talk about, a lot of new segments. Got some new things to show Kevin. He's going to enjoy this. You guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Here we go. We'll be right back. Cinema. Crespo. Viso. Cinema. Crespo. Viso. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Questo Show.
Welcome back to episode 127 of Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hanging out with Joseph Cogburn, so brother Kevin Gay.
What up, bro?
Yeah. All right. Kevin's your first time on since Christmas, man.
Since Christmas, man. Yeah. It's been that long?
I know, right? It feels like you've just been on.
Damn.
That's why I was like, I gotta ask Kevin to come back on the show.
Christmas is always a good time.
Christmas is a good time as long as you don't mind a little bit of car problems or overdue bills.
Right.
Or whatever other nasty, horrible things.
Whatever horrible things you have to handle at the end of the year. It's all about persevering and hanging out with friends. That's what Christmas is all about.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. But now it's summertime. It's Summermas. How can I make that?
Summermas? You can do Christmas in July.
Christmas in July?
You can.
I wish I thought of that earlier.
Well, you can. It's not July
Christmas,
yet.
Christmas in July is when your AC breaks.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, that'll do it.
The AC breaks and...
Your brakes break.
Your brakes break. And yeah, they're always car problems are central to the Christmas spirit.
Man, I like having a shitty car. It keeps me humble.
It does. Certain people do that for real. Legit. Like Conan O'Brien.
Uh-huh.
He drives like the same 98 Ford Taurus that he's been driving like for fucking 15 years.
Now he's fucking with us.
I don't think so. Zach Galifianakis is that type of guy.
See, everybody you're saying, it seems like they would do something like that.
No, it's things they do to try to stay humble.
That's what they say?
Yeah.
Oh, I was saying that as a joke.
To try to reject like materialistic possessions. You know, they live in... fairly modest homes, you know, compared to like they don't live in mansions and
But they got robots and shit in there.
Probably somewhere, right? Or they have a ranch somewhere.
The house looks real broke down on the outside.
Yeah,
that's just the facade.
They got a facade broke down house, but then they also got a whole farm, like in one of the Carolinas,
and then a room full of gold.
Yes,
yeah,
they're gold. This is my gold room. Mm-hmm. This is where I keep my gold. Don't touch anything.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Let's do the plugs. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero419 on just about every social media platform you can think of.
And how are you doing on that LO?
Oh, you on LO?
I don't really use it that much.
I got an LO you.
Yeah.
And then we can figure out what that's all about.
What it's all about. Yeah, I'm on there. I haven't used it in forever.
Nope.
How are you doing on that Snapchat?
Not very well.
Not very well.
Nope.
You don't know how to play that game, right?
Nope.
How's it going on the Tinder?
Not very well.
Not very well.
You got to swipe to the left, man.
I keep swiping. Nothing happens.
There's a new one. I think it's called Bumbler? Blender? Not Blender.
Humper.
No, not Humper.
B-L-E-N-D-R.
It's something that ends in D-R, and it begins with B. But it's started by a lady, and it's Tinder, but only ladies can get an interaction started.
Oh, so ladies initiate.
Yes.
That will work.
Yeah.
That will work.
It cuts so women can use it without having to be bombarded with messages from douchey dudes.
Man, that's genius.
With phishing pictures and pictures with them and sedated tigers and stuff like that.
I need to come up with an app.
Yeah. I can come up with a name. Drew and I can, we know the naming formula.
Yes. We can name it. Not a problem.
Some kid just sold an app to Apple for like
a ridiculous amount of money.
Damn near $1 billion.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Because they know that they're going to make 4, 5, 6 billion. It's like the Snapchat guys. They didn't sell at like four. How much? They were offered a ridiculous amount of money. They didn't sell it.
I would sell quick because I don't want to run a company. I just want the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to develop something and then give me the money to get out.
Exactly.
Try to develop something else. Go buy a zoo. I'm not trying to run a business.
I do that Jurassic Park shit for real.
Yeah.
With like a couple of lizards.
You're going to need that Elon Musk money for that.
No.
If anyone's going to start a Jurassic
Park. I got the
Park,
Musk.
It's going to be the Tesla. Those Tesla people. You got the Musk.
Oh, yeah. I just need the Elon part.
I got the Jovan Musk.
Is that the Tesla guy?
Yeah.
Have you seen those Tesla videos?
Which ones?
They just step on the gas and freak the shit out of people?
No, I haven't.
And have you seen the dashboard is like a computer screen. It goes from the top to the floor.
Is it really?
It's like a touch. It's ridiculous. It's yeah.
He's going to save the world. You know that, right?
Yes. I hope so.
He's going to save the world. Those Tesla batteries?
I want the power of your house.
The harness of solar energy and spread it out throughout the day to power your house.
Yeah.
So you can power your house with solar energy at night.
He needs to sponsor this podcast.
Yes, he does.
And put one of Tesla batteries on it.
Yeah, put Tesla right on the board right there. Plug it in.
And then we'll jump on one of his SpaceX rockets and podcast from space.
Yes, Spacecast.
But that battery will produce episodes with or without you.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just punch them out.
Yeah, yeah. It'll just take all the words we've ever spoken and rearrange them.
Yeah.
Use information from the internet. It's like, man, we outsourced ourselves.
Yes, we did.
That might not have been very smart. Kevin, tell people about SBK Live.
Oh, what about it?
promoting?
Well, we do a show every week, and then some weeks we don't.
Yes.
You can find us on sbklive.fm and
shop through sbklive.fm/Amazon.
sbklive.fm/Amazon. It helps the show without helping, you know, the man.
It's that's true.
And you can hear Chris and Drew on there every now and then. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you guys will be on there next week.
Yes.
Because Matt will be out and you guys will be in. And so we'll be talking about
everything.
We just talk, just ramble.
I love doing your show because it's what's going on, you know?
But we don't know what's going to go
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
It's like, so what's up with you guys? Like, here we go. This is in the news. Like, oh, shit. 20-minute ramble. Here we go.
Yeah. Well, hey, man.
There's some stuff going on over here.
It's a good time. I love it. And hit up Kevin on Twitter at the Soul Brother.
At the Soul Brother, yeah. And Chris, you guys will be in next week.
Okay.
Both days, so.
All right.
It'd be awesome.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I'm going to go see a movie between now and then so we can talk about
them movies.
Yeah.
Not a prerequisite, you know.
Well, I like that. I don't want to.
But it's fun. Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo and the show at Crespodiso. Email us for stickers, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. So many stickers, Kevin.
Gotta get the stickers going.
We got how many stickers we still have, Drew? 1,500?
I like the gold circle stickers.
They're the worst quality ones.
Yeah, they're the worst quality
ones. I like
the
concept.
Ones.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah,
Drew's favorite.
All right, you guys got to tell me where not to go for stickers then.
Well, those gold ones, Drew made them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I did.
Drew.
Those are the Avery print labels that you can get at Staples.
Yes. Oh, I've done that. That's what that is. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
BK Live one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then the blue and pink ones that we have, those are our highest quality that we got from some random company online. Mm-hmm. And then new ones we did, like these ones over here, is one that we got from a company in Jersey that my mom actually got for super cheap.
Okay.
And those are like in the middle.
In the middle?
Middle quality.
You got to keep going until you get the right ones.
Yeah. Well, I actually really like those.
You like those?
The pink and blue ones came out really nice.
All right.
And the Cinema Crispies ones are pretty good. We're actually working on a new show logo. An updated show logo.
Awesome.
Which means new stickers, which means email us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com so we can give you the old stickers.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of them.
No, I like the gold ones, though. They still look good.
They're good,
the
right?
whole concept, yeah.
Yeah. It's Coco Chanel.
it looks good, though.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They're smart guys. All right, before we really get in the second half, there's a little bit of business I wanted to do. I want to add a segment to the show, specifically while we were doing bonus episodes that were run by Drew.
Okay.
They were Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
Yep.
Is what we were going to call them. I want to make that a segment on the show, on the weekly, starting next week, Drew. Okay. I'm telling you for the first time.
I'm going to get you 2 cents together.
I've been thinking about this for a while, but then I decided I'm going to tell him on the show.
Yeah, put him on the spot.
On the spot, exactly.
Yeah.
So episode 128, Drew, we're doing a Dr. Drew's 2 cents, and we'll be doing that every week. I need feedback from both of you, though. Should we do the segment in the second half where we already have a number of segments, or should we throw this into the first half of the show, maybe between like right before we go into the Crespo Disco? We'll end the first half with a Dr. Drew's 2 cents. What do you think, guys? Drew shaking his head no.
Whatever.
Drew has no opinion on where to put the segment.
I would say it all depends on where we're lacking, wherever the...
Well, that's the thing. I feel like both halves are pretty full.
Well, I'll say this. If you have a certain format for the first half, if you throw the new segment in there, that might shake it up a little bit for people who are used to listening. But hey, what's going on?
That's the thing. Right. The first half of the show has been the same since almost the very beginning in terms of the segment.
Maybe you want to switch it up.
Has always changed.
Yeah, the second one's always very fluid. So maybe stick it into the first one to really mix it up. I think,
or give it some hype. Do it right before you go into the break,
and
then come out the break with your second segment. Then people can look forward to
it. Like introduce the like tease Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
No. I'm saying do it before you take the break with the songs and everything.
That's that's what I was suggesting. Maybe right before the Crespo Disco,
right?
Dr. Drew's 2 cents. And then nothing long, like 2 to 5 minute segment, and then it would be about whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
Now, this is an entertainment based show, so if you want to do something entertainment wise,
that might be good.
That might be good. But if something catches you, like in the science, or something happening in a news story, anything you want, whatever catches your fancy for that week.
Catches your fancy.
Yeah. Okay. And then I want your 2 cents on it. And I'm gonna have an intro for it. It's gonna be like, the doctor is in, and it's gonna be some music, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be Dr. Drew's 2 cents. And I'm like, all right, what's Dr. Drew's 2 cents? And he can take it over for a couple minutes.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig.
So that's coming, episode 128.
All right.
Be ready for that. Okay. There we go. Speaking of new segments, old segments, new segments, we have a lot of segments that we do here, and some of them even have intros, just like one of my favorites. You know it would be good
if you'd given this up to me.
If I give this to Drew, because it is time for that Billy D's Death of the Movies. Oh, here we go. Billy D's intro ended, and we got cued. Drew Stokoglund versus the world.
Uh-oh.
Drew Stokoglund versus the world.
Here we go.
Look at that bad timing.
Yes.
Sorry about
that.
Really,
play
the whole intro.
And this is why you want to do his 2 cents before this, because then you don't want to have back-to-back.
That's true. So we have two separate Drew segments, one in the first half, one.
That makes sense.
That's what we're doing. That's why I'm going to bring it up.
I can see the roadmap, man.
Thank you, Kevin. That's the overlord Kevin tells us.
But I can only figure my own shit out.
Sure. we'll get around to that one day. Maybe this week.
No.
Probably not.
Nope.
Drew was 6-2 this year. He just lost for the second time to Curtis Earth a few weeks ago.
Oh, well, that's almost not fair. That guy knows worthless shit for a living.
They have battles, though. They have battles. Okay. Drew went first, and he went 4-for-5, and then Curtis ran the table, went 5-for-5. It was crazy.
How did he get his other loss?
To the Black Hasselhoff, Anthony Davis from Forget That Yo Radio. It was the third time they got up against each other. First time Anthony won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to watch that guy.
This year, Drew beat Baby Lack for the first time out of 3 games.
Okay.
Yeah, so Drew's doing pretty good this year. He's 6-2, but he lost last one. So that means, Kevin, you got to go first. You got to pick. This week's game is called Three is a Crowd. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you 3 actors or actresses. You tell me the movie they are in.
I'm familiar with this.
So if I said Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and Martin Short, the answer would be anyone? Anyone?
Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Okay, so I have 2 groups of 5, A and B. Kevin, do you want A or B? Pick your poison.
B.
All right, here are your 3 actors. Number 1, Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, Joe Pantoliano.
The Matrix.
That is correct. Number 2, Vin Diesel, Matt Damon, Paul Giamatti.
Wait. Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Damon.
Yep.
Paul Giamatti.
Yep.
Diesel.
What?
No, that's not so movie. It's Diesel.
Diesel. You just said the name of the actor.
Oh,
Giamatti.
Oh, I did. Oh, wow. I'm thinking about the movie with I don't know.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Saving Private Ryan.
I forgot about Vin Diesel being in that movie.
Yeah.
That's what threw me off. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number 3, Russell Crowe, Oliver Reed, Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, Gladiator.
That's correct.
Man, that's the best movie ever.
Number 4, Sylvester Stallone, Chuck Norris, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Expendables.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
The Expendables 2.
I had to be 2.
That's
okay.
The one Chuck Norris was in.
All right, yeah, I was just throwing that Expendables out there. I thought maybe you'd give it to me.
You're close. Okay. Number 5.
Oh, man, I'm going to lose.
Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. Emilio Estevez, Vanessa Redgrave.
Mission Impossible 2.
That is incorrect. It's a Mission Impossible.
But I paused waiting on you to say
it. I know you paused.
Man,
I was waiting for you to just stop.
I was trying to stop.
I was hoping you would stop.
Damn it.
So you got 2 out of 5. Okay. Drew needs to get 3 to win.
All right,
Drew.
Hopefully I can do this.
Number 1.
Yeah, you can do it.
Bruce Willis, Uma Thurman, John Travolta.
Pulp Fiction.
Correct. Number 2, Brad Pitt, Edward Norton, Helena Bonham Carter.
Fight Club.
That's correct. You're tied. Number 3. Morgan Freeman, Clancy Brown, Tim Robbins.
Goddamn, I know the name of the movie.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
Is someone going under something under the table down there? What's going on?
Remember the name of the blind my blanket.
Just say Diesel.
That's not the answer. That's not the answer of the movie.
Just say Freeman.
No, that's not it either. Shawshank Redemption.
That's correct. That is correct. Number four, Ben Affleck, Alec Baldwin, Kate Beckinsale. Drew's thinking hard. Thinking. Looking around like a confused frog on a bump.
Man.
You've seen this movie a million times.
Or at least once.
It's bad when you sit here and you know the answer to the ones, yeah, to the other guy's question.
Yeah, that is brutal.
It is.
You're like, oh, I should have picked A.
Oh, I should have picked B.
That's why you pick your poison. Just spit one out at this point.
Reindeer Games.
Oh, Pearl Harbor.
I didn't like that.
If I had said Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Number five, John C. Reilly, Don Cheadle, Philip Seymour Hoffman in...
Come on, man. Now you're messing with us.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights is correct. Very good, Drew. You won that one. Decisively puts him at 7-2.
I remember when I beat you last time, one time.
I think you did. You guys have played the most. I think you played like five times, six times, maybe something like that.
You beat me though. Like I'm losing.
He's been a guest the most.
I'm gonna have to do something like that on my show where I can I don't get to beat anybody in anything.
We could bring back the movie Chain Gang.
The movie Chain Gang used to make my blood boil.
A frustrating game.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Especially when the rules are so fluid sometimes.
Yeah, well.
That schmuck that was running the game didn't know what he was doing.
I don't know.
I had to make it up on the spot.
I will say that if no one ever heard us play that game, the best example of what Chris would do to piss me off is with the Mission Impossible thing a minute ago. I go, yeah. Mission Impossible!
And then
two. But you could have cut it off.
It's like, but I know it's coming.
Yeah, you know it's coming.
I know it's coming. Right. Okay. Like you said, we're going to do that segment that we call Billy D's Death of the Movie. Sorry, we listened to that already. Billy D's our New York City senior correspondent and our horror film aficionado. Checks in every week with his Death of the Movies review. Drewster Cogburn, if you don't mind.
Hey, dudes.
Hey, Billy.
Flips chair backwards and sits down. Let's rap for a second.
Oh, boy.
I watched Eli Roth Presents The Stranger this weekend.
What, The Stranger?
It was hyped all over Twitter and the other social media medias as a mean masterpiece. That's half right.
All right.
I looked it up on the old IMDb and read the synopsis, and something caught my eye. A mysterious man arrives in a small Canadian town seeking his wife. A small Canadian town. Where did they get that from? Canada has long been a stand-in for the U.S., but to outsource Canada is crazy. I know Canada doesn't look like South America, which is where Eli Roth Presents The Stranger is shot.
So they shot this movie in South America, but presented it as Canada?
Apparently.
Why can't they just shoot it in Canada?
Well, they know no one's seen Canada.
Canada has been New York in so many movies. Maybe they actually think it's New York if they see Toronto.
Okay, apparently this movie was shot in Chile, to be precise.
Oh, damn.
Chile for Canada.
Canada can look like a lot of places, but South America, even mountainous South America, isn't one of them.
No way.
Chile has stuff going on in it. I can care about people in Chile. By the way, at no time does it ever say that it's happening in Canada, or is there any Canada-centric element in the plot. When they dub the voices, they should have at least thrown in an aboot or an A or two. Jesus fuck. Other than that weird thing, the movie is good. Solid in fact. Just pretend that the movie is set in Chile where it is shot and you're good. It's heavy and grim. It's like Near Dark without a sense of humor. Stay cool, Billy D.
Horror film without a sense of humor. Those are my least favorite horror films, actually.
Yeah, it's gotta be, yeah.
The ones that are just mean and dirty.
It can't just be da 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 da.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Evil Dead remake. I finally caught that on FXX.
The Evil.
Yeah, well, the first Evil Dead, the second one definitely had a lot of humor. Army of Darkness is practically a Three Stooges movie.
Yeah.
But the first Evil Dead is a pretty tough, nasty movie, but it still has like a sense of humor to it.
Right.
A small sense of humor. That remake was just brutal. Mm. Just brutal and intense and in your face and heavy.
Well, you gotta have one of those in a series.
I guess so.
Yeah.
They're doing a TV show, an Evil Dead TV show.
Oh, that's gonna have to be a little lighter.
It is gonna be. And it's Evil Dead. It's Ash versus Evil Dead. So Bruce Campbell's coming back and it's him and some like young chick. And it's like an 8 or 13 episode series. And the first episode is directed by Sam Raimi, who did all the original.
Okay.
People. That's going to be next year on
FX.
Stars? No, one of the pay ones. Like, not Showtime.
So it can be kind of dark then.
Yeah, they can go for it. They can really go for it. Showtime is doing Twin Peaks, so I think it might be Stars.
No, I can't wait to see Twin Peaks.
That's going to be crazy.
And it's going to be 18 episodes, all of them directed by David Lynch. That's
super creepy.
Yeah.
I don't even know how. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be an 18-hour Twin Peaks movie.
Wow.
We're watching that that 12-hour Wachowski's movie on Netflix, the Sense8.
Okay, is that? I didn't know that was Wachowski.
It's Wachowski's,
It's really fucking weird.
It's 8 different characters that are all connected through a 9th character played by Daryl Hannah, and you keep bouncing in and out between all these characters, their lives, and they're seeing each other's lives, but they don't know what's going on.
Okay, I got to see this.
It's wild. Weird. It took at least 2 episodes for things to start making a little bit of sense. Like 2 hours in, I was like, okay, I think I get it.
Pay attention for the first 2 episodes.
In the first episode, you only learn one thing. Everybody fucks.
Yeah, in the first 2 episodes. Yeah, that's the one thing they're driving home. Everyone fucks. Right. Gay people, straight people, interracial couples, transgender people, having all sorts of sex.
Did they show the transgender thing? Because that's real popular.
You don't even know. You don't even know the character's transgender until the 3rd season.
Oh,
or 3rd episode, I should say.
Man.
No, but it's the beginning.
Like that.
That's the intro.
Oh.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy show. It's like Cloud Atlas, but like in modern and crazier.
Still hadn't gotten through the first 30 minutes of Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas is tough.
Okay, and do you guys watch American Horror Story?
I watched the first season and half the second season.
Well, you didn't like it? You couldn't get through it?
The second one, it got too much for me. It got ridiculous. The first one was not bad.
It is the shit. You got to keep watching.
Really?
Oh,
well, the third one was the witches one? No, the third one was the circus one.
No, the third was the witches. Which the fourth was the circus. Are both awesome.
And then what's the fifth one going to be?
They announced a hotel.
A hotel.
I tried the witches. I didn't like it. I tried. Oh, tried the circus. Thought it was stupid, too.
With the clown?
Yeah.
He's the best character ever been on TV.
Never saw the clown.
You did.
Clowns are scary. Can be.
Yeah.
Like, it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Mm,
I tried watching it when I was like 8 years old by myself in the basement, like with not 10 years old, with the lights off. And then there's a scene where it comes up out of a shower drain in the boys' bathroom at the school, and it's all crazy stop motion animation looking like really hinky. Yeah. And I jumped out of the chair, ran to the light switch and threw the lights on, watched the rest of the movie like that with all the lights on. So fucking scared.
They're coming for you, Chris.
I miss being scared like that.
They're coming for you.
When I was a kid. I don't get scared like that anymore. All right, let's get into some movie news here. I got a bunch of stories. Let's see what we got. I got some release dates, guys.
Okay.
Equalizer.
The Equalizer.
Dose.
Getting a sequel.
Sweet.
The Sequalizer is coming.
The Sequalizer.
And it's scheduled September 29, 2017, exactly 3 years after the first one.
Oh, we're going to forget all about it.
Maybe. It's possible. I already forgot mostly about it.
Yep.
The Equalizer is my favorite bad movie of 2014. Because it's not a good movie. It's not. It's really corny and cheesy. But it's also so entertaining. And Denzel's coming back.
Gotta have Denzel if he's still alive.
Well, it was a question about, you know, the movie made good money. So they're like, they're definitely going to make a sequel. But will Denzel come back? Because he's never done a sequel. He's been in like 40, 50 movies. Never once has he reprised the role. So this will be his first sequel at the age of 60. By then, he'll be 62.
Yeah, Denzel don't play that.
He don't play that normally. So we'll see. And then the article doesn't mention, but I assume Antoine Fuqua is going to come back.
Fuqua.
Yeah. Also getting released, Quentin Tarantino's new movie, The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that.
Yeah, his straight-up Western. It's finally, he's making just a straight Western.
Straight Western.
Yeah, as opposed to Django, which was a Southern Western. Maybe he'll make a gay Western. That'd be a lot of fun. Hateful Eight, which will be starring Samuel Jackson, Bruce Dern, Damian Bashir, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Tim Roth, Michael Madsen. Just a crazy cast.
His cast.
Yeah. His guys. His people.
Guys, yeah.
Kurt Russell. Oh, I can't wait for some Kurt Russell. Good. He's got a crazy mustache, too, in all the promo pictures. Coming out Christmas Day, December 25th, 2016. Django was a Christmas time release too, as well.
Yes, it was.
I think he's taken to that, to the end of the year.
Release. He wants to own Christmas.
I think so. He wants to be the violent alternative
to
Christmas.
To make Christmas a little disturbing,
just a bit.
Yeah,
he'll find a way. So the plan is December 25th. The movie's going to come out in a handful of theaters across the country in 70 millimeter. which is like IMAX film. It's huge film stock. It's like more in high def than the highest def TV you've ever seen. Mm. And he's actually helped equip 50 theaters in this country with 70 millimeter projectors so they can show this.
He did that?
Yeah, he did that shit. Because he's all about film and preserving film and that experience. Right. So if a movie is playing by you on December 25th, Hateful Eight, that means it's 70 millimeter. You should go see it. We here in Orlando probably won't get that.
Nah, man, come on. Somewhere's got to have it.
There's not a single place in town that's equipped for 70 millimeter. The only place that was the IMAX theater at Point Orlando.
And they gutted it?
They swapped it over to a digital.
Oh.
Yep, so bummer. The only place in town showing 70 millimeter film projection, the Terminator 2 3D Back in Time ride at Universal Studios, at the old Universal Studios. They have a 70 millimeter.
I saw the Wu-Tang Clan at Hard Rock in Queens with the Wu-Tang Clan.
That's awesome.
So maybe he was coming here to bring that back.
To bring the projector, maybe. Yeah. He's like, I'm in town to oversee this. Mm-hmm. I hope so. The rest of the world will get to see Hateful Eight on... Happy birthday, Drew. January 8th. It's almost your birthday. Day after your birthday. It's a birthday present to Drew. The release of Hateful Eight. So January is when the rest of the world will get to see that one. I'm really looking forward to that. I love Westerns. I love Tarantino.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
They're working on Bad Boys 3.
Bad Boys.
Are they really?
Yes. But Michael Bay won't be directing it.
Oh, man.
This fella, Joe Carnahan, the guy who did The Gray, Liam Neeson, and The Wolf. Wolves.
Yep. Yeah.
And what else? He also did The A-Team. It's probably his biggest budget movie.
Okay.
With Bradley Cooper, Liam Neeson. He is going to be doing the new Bad Boys, most likely, writing and directing.
With Liam Neeson?
Hopefully he'll inject the Liam Neeson into a Bad Boys.
I know who they're going to fight this time.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, the NRA. Are they still around? Probably not. Not the NRA, the IRA.
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah, they're still around.
I wouldn't piss them off.
We love the IRA, don't we? I have no idea. I saw someone tweet this, this critic, Vern, tweet this, and it makes sense. As much as he liked Joe Carnahan, he doesn't think Joe Carnahan is racist or sexist enough to make a Bad Boys movie.
Okay, gotcha.
Because those movies are over
racist
the top.
And sexist.
They are so over the top. But it's what makes them what they are. Bad Boys 2 is like the epitome of Bay cinema, Michael Bay cinema, you know?
Yeah.
It has. He's throwing boats during car chases, and he's hiding drugs in boobs, and... And Martin Lawrence ODs on ecstasy, and it's all played for laughs.
Yep. At least you know what you're getting with him.
You do know what you're getting. Getting gloriousness. With Joe Carnahan, I don't know. Probably getting a lot of shaky camera stuff. We'll see. Michelle McLaren is a TV director. She did a bunch of episodes of Breaking Bad. A ton of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
She's done some Walking Dead, and she's done some Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. Damn, that's everything.
Yeah. And some of her episodes have been like some of the best ones. She's really good. She was attached to the Wonder Woman movie for a hot minute, left over creative differences. Now it's looking like she may sign on with Disney to do one of these Star Wars spinoff movies.
Okay.
There's going to be a bunch of those.
A ton of them.
Yeah.
Their plan is like this year we get Star Wars Episode 7. Then next year we're getting some movie called Star Wars Rogue One. And that's a movie about, in the first Star Wars movie, the very first one, the whole thing centers on them stealing the plans for the Death Star.
Yes. Yes.
So the end of the movie is like, a bunch of people died to get us these plans, and they go over the whole schematics. Star Wars Rogue One is going to be about that mission to get those plans. So it's going to be like a military movie.
Okay.
And then they're doing a Boba Fett standalone movie.
Yeah,
they're
a lot of standalones probably coming.
Yep, a young Han Solo, a Yoda origin movie. These are all things that are rumored, and they're going to be, so it's going to be like Star Wars Episode 7.
Can we get some Chewbacca?
Probably the Han Solo movie, okay. Right? A bunch of Chewbacca. So it's like official movie this year, side movie next year, episode 8 the year after that, side movie the year after that. So every year we're getting a Star Wars
movie. They're going to beat the shit out of us with some Star Wars.
Yes, they are.
They're going to beat it to death. But one of these may be directed by this Michelle McLaren.
Sweet.
Go ahead.
I'm hoping for it, because she did some awesome work, man. Plus we could use more female directors out there. They just don't get enough work. And they're out there, too. Thousands of them registered with the DGA.
Ready to blow up shit.
Absolutely. We were talking about Eastbound and Down. So that's Danny McBride, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the show was developed by this dude, Jody Hill, mm-hmm. A buddy of his from school. They did the Foot Fist Way together. And what was the other thing they did? The Observe and Report, the Seth Rogen movie where it's like Paul Blart meets Taxi Driver.
Yes.
And it's actually good.
Meets a stoner comedy.
Yeah, it's a fucked up crazy movie. Danny McBride has a small part in that. They are re-teaming for a movie called The Legacy of a White-Tailed Deer Hunter.
Nice.
All right.
So imagine a Foot Fist Way or Eastbound and Down type thing.
But with hunting.
With deer hunting.
And guns.
Dan McBride.
Yeah. I like it.
That sounds like fun, right? Josh Brolin's in the cast. Love some Josh
so
Brolin.
So it's going to be like a funny deer hunter.
Yes. Funny deer hunter. Oh, man. If Observer Report was comedic Taxi Driver, this would be comedic the deer hunter.
Yep.
I hope so. Looking like it's going to come out. No release date.
Sounds no release good. Date. All right.
So sometime in the future. Time machines are not necessary yet to see that. They put out the official synopsis for Batman vs. Superman.
Okay.
All right. The Warner Brothers did. And there's a line in there that's kind of interesting. Where is it? With Batman and Superman at war with one another, a new threat quickly arises, putting mankind in greater danger than it's ever known before. So Batman, Superman, they're going to be, you know, going mano a mano halfway through the movie, but then something's going to pop up where they're going to be forced to team together, probably along with Wonder Woman and Aquaman
right.
and Cyborg. You know, there's just 1,000 characters in this fucking movie. I'm thinking it's going to be Doomsday.
Really, they're going to just throw Doomsday in here, and then, at the end of the movie, Superman's dead?
No, I think Superman doesn't die.
You can't kill Superman.
Doomsday did.
Doomsday did. Remember in the 90s when they did the Superman comic where he died?
Yeah.
Doomsday is the character that literally came out of nowhere.
Killed Superman and then went away never to return.
Yeah. Well, because he died too.
No, he didn't die.
But he didn't really die,
He got strapped to an asteroid and thrown into space.
Well, when Superman and Doomsday killed each other, they buried Superman. Some company took the Doomsday monster and tried to, like, dissect it and shit or
and
whatever.
And came back to life.
And then the robot Superman, like, another Superman came along when they did the four Superman thing. One of them was strapped into a meteor. Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
There were four different Supermen.
Robot Superman.
Yeah, one of them was Robot Superman.
There was Teenager Clone Superman.
Teenage Clone, so it was Superboy, but he was a clone.
There was Steel.
Steel, which was Shaq.
Okay.
So it was a dude. It was Shaq. Remember they made the Steel movie with Shaq?
Yeah, but I don't want to remember that.
Unfortunately, you got him, because we're referencing it now.
Yeah.
That was based on the Superman character, where it was some black dude who was saved by Superman at one point, and he felt like, I need to take up the mantle of this guy and do all the good work that he can't do anymore because he's dead. Mm. So he made himself an all-steel Superman suit with, like, rocket boots and shit, because he was like an engineer or something.
Oh, he was just like a dude.
Yeah.
So this is like, that's, okay.
He took up the mantle.
He was like a cheap Iron Man, basically.
Yes, he was a cheap Iron Man.
Okay, what about Supergirl? You guys watching that?
The DC, the on CBS, right?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, you know why? It's not out yet.
Okay. Well, the pilot got leaked.
I know. I saw the pilot like a month ago. and then I watch it, and my girl goes, hey, this is not supposed to come out for like 3 months. I'm like, well, yeah. We already saw
it's
it.
It's supposed to be out yet. Someone fucked
it's
that one
up.
Is it good? Is it watchable?
Yes, it's watchable.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of those shows. You know, they have.
But she's a girl, so there's like a little girly factor to it.
Of course.
I'm cool with that. I use more girly stuff and, you know, got enough ultra dude stuff. Like, I haven't watched any of Arrow or The Flash on CW.
Oh,
and
wow.
People love those shows.
Yeah, they do.
Like, they're really well liked. I haven't watched frame one of either one of them. I don't know. TV is like, TV? Come on, guys. There's movies to watch.
But sometimes there's some good stuff on TV.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Every now and then, you know.
TV has gotten much better over the years, for sure. But there are still so many things, you know. Anyway, I'll get around to checking out that Supergirl. I thought that they had, since it leaked, that they had played it officially.
I don't know.
Officially since then.
I didn't know. I just saw it pop up on my thing, and I go, hey, let's watch this.
Yeah, sure. No, I get it. Have you watched any of Daredevil?
I did. I've watched enough. The Kingpin has not arrived yet.
Okay, that's like episode 4 or 5.
Episode 4. I saw the first 3 episodes.
Okay.
I wasn't familiar with this story that much.
Sure.
But for some reason, I already know who the Kingpin is, and I know all about the Kingpin, but I don't remember.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. But it's D'Onofrio is playing him, right?
Yes.
And they say
he's good.
They say that's when it really gets good.
Yeah, he's good. It's a good character.
Yeah.
They take him some interesting places. It's a good show. I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually.
I watched a little bit of Gotham the first season.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you like that one?
I just wanted to see what Jada looked like.
Oh, you look like Jada.
And I like the pink. I like the pink. No,
we all know you like the pink.
No. I like the penguin. The penguin guy.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I like him becoming the
good
penguin.
Save. Good save. I haven't watched any of that show either.
It's
not that's not as well reviewed or well liked as like the other.
It has its hardcore following, and that's about it.
It does. I think those are people that are just so hard up for Batman.
They just want it bad.
Anything Batman related.
And Batman's just young little boy. He's mad.
Yeah. See, and
confused.
I love Batman. I don't want to see that.
Okay.
I don't want to see that.
See, I make fun of it.
Now with Daredevil, because Daredevil's part of the MCU Marvel thing. A lot of characters have crossed over in the comic books.
Right.
Next season, they have confirmed for sure the Punisher is going to appear as a character in Daredevil season two. And the Punisher is going to be played by John Bernthal, guy Shane from Walking Dead.
Yeah, I just saw that news headline.
Yep.
So, Shane.
Shane. Not my favorite choice. A lot of people are very happy with that choice.
People just miss Shane.
People like him.
People really like that guy. I'm not a big fan of that dude.
He left Walking Dead way too soon compared to what we were left with.
Compared to the books, he left it way too late.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, he stuck around for a long time.
Okay, all right. That's because people liked him, I
think,
guess.
So.
They let him. For what's happening now, they let him go too soon.
But what happened in the I think in the show actually let him go too late because a lot of the things that he ended up doing, being the voice of reason and stuff, all that shit was supposed to fall to Rick much earlier. Yeah. But with Shane sticking around, he became the guy. He was the one talking reason. And then everyone's like, oh, man, I like Shane. You're supposed to be liking Rick.
And when they killed him, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And when they killed him, though, he was like the first guy that was like dead zombie instantly. Yeah. Like, didn't even,
They used that for the reveal that, he had become zombie.
He was a zombie before he even hit the ground.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. That show. All the comic book movies coming out next year. There's a lot of them coming out.
Oh, God. What bugs me about the Walking Dead stuff, too. In the show.
Go ahead.
In the show, it's Rick who shoots him.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the comic book, Carl's the one that shoots him.
His son.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because Rick and Shane were fighting out in the woods over Rick's wife.
Yeah.
Right. And his son had followed him sneakily, and this was very shortly after he gave him a gun for the first time, and he shot Shane because Shane was beating up Rick.
Right.
Shot him in the face.
And fucking killed him.
For TV, though, they don't want the kid offing everybody.
In the TV show, Shane's a whiny, the kid's a whiny little pussy.
Carl! Yeah.
And he's always Carl.
He's crazy, got some issues.
I hate Carl.
Yeah, I do too. Wearing that stupid hat.
Yeah. It looked better in the comic book.
Yeah.
Well, in the comic book, he's also like 5 years younger.
That's true.
Everything's younger in the comic books.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they cast them pretty young, but now the show's been on now for, 5 years? Kids hit a growth spurt. What are you going to do?
And that's why you can tell a better story with the comic book.
Yeah, because you can control that stuff.
Yeah, just like Game of Thrones.
Or The Simpsons. You know, every character's the same age for 20 years, so you don't have to worry about...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Genius. If you want to make them older, make them older. It's a cartoon. Yeah. Comic book movies coming out next year. The one I'm most interested in, I mean, Batman Superman is probably going to be the biggest one.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Captain America Civil War, which is like pretty much an Avengers movie. That's going to be gigantic. Probably going to make the most money.
It's going to be during the Civil War?
It's what's called Civil War. Because that'd be funny if it was during the Civil War. No, because it's Captain America versus Iron Man. And people are taking sides.
Yep.
Wow.
Civil War amongst the superheroes. Yeah.
Spoiler, Captain America dies.
Probably not. Because Chris Evans talking about how he's shooting Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 back-to-back. So, and that just disappointed Drew because they deviated from original comic
books. Oh, see, that's...
He's such a purist,
this guy. That always gets you.
Such a purist. Were you a big Doctor Strange fan at all? That's Marvel.
I mean, I wasn't a fan, per se. I knew of him.
You knew of it. You didn't really read it that much. So if they deviate from a lot of stuff in Doctor Strange, ain't going to bother you?
No, I wouldn't know.
Okay, good. Because they're changing a lot of shit in Doctor Strange, let me tell you. First off, the Ancient One, who's supposed to be some like old dude character that trains the Doctor to be in magic and shit, the Doctor being played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right.
That's going to be played by Tilda Swinton.
Okay.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah. So we're going with a lady with
she
that
looks
one.
Weird.
And she's a very weird actress. Like, she's good, though. She's good. The Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave, 2012.
Your sequel. Movies.
The what?
A sequel.
No, 12 Years a Slave again.
Yes.
No. I can't take that.
Oh,
I
24 I Years a Slave.
I couldn't handle it. The 12,
it was 12
years,
quick years.
The 12 years was enough.
Hey, man, he can play that fiddle.
He's going to be in Doctor Strange, and he is playing the character of Baron Mordo, who is a bad guy, one of Doctor Strange's nemesis. Okay. But he's being described as not the main villain. Or not totally villainous. So he may be paving the way for another bigger villain in the Doctor Strange universe. Also, not confirmed, but rumored, the character of Death is going to be in Doctor Strange.
Death.
Death.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Death.
That's death. Like... Death. Straight up they're death. Going all out.
That's why I'm looking forward to it the most, because it's directed by a guy who does horror movies. The whole thing has all this like sorcery and magic, you know, magical realism.
Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme.
Doctor Strange. I mean, yeah, hopefully.
You gotta be, yeah.
Hopefully it's going to be a weird, trippy, you know, very different movie.
If not that, at least strange.
Yes. Yeah. That's the least thing that I want. So those are your movie news. Kevin, we got a newish segment. We've been doing, like, people can email us, right? CinemaCrespiso@gmail.com.
Okay.
Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter with your questions, topics, movie reviews, and then we'll read them on the show.
Okay.
We've been doing that for a while, but I've decided to put it together in a segment.
Yes.
A segment that we call Vox Populi, and I even got an intro for it.
All right.
So here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Drewster Coburn's got him over there.
Yes, sir.
People are chiming in this week. What do you got, Drew?
On the Facebook. Ernie Cantu asks, how was Zombievers?
Oh.
Did you see Dogfight? Have not seen either of those.
Still haven't seen Zombievers. Apparently Zombievers is supposed to be a pretty wild movie, Kevin.
That guy's weird.
Ernie Cantu?
Yeah.
Yeah. Junk Culture Inc. Mm-hmm. on the Twitter.
He's a weird guy.
But he checks in all the time. Yeah. You know?
He was getting at
Seems like a nice guy.
I think he was getting at me on Instagram about me putting mustard on my ribs.
Well, that's a South Carolina style, isn't it?
Well, no, it just makes the... You don't taste the mustard. It just makes the rub stick to the ribs.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Oh, okay.
Does not affect the taste at all.
Interesting.
Maybe the color a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Get some on your fingers.
I love it.
Stay in the yellow. We haven't seen Zombievers yet. We're going to get around to it. Dogfight is a documentary thing about backyard fighting, like or like the Kimbo Slice type stuff.
Oh, is this the Florida Man one?
No, that's Florida Man.
No, I'm pretty sure that this dogfight thing was filmed in
Florida.
Oh,
it takes place in Florida?
Oh,
yeah. Well, yeah, sure. Kimbo Slice was from South Florida?
South Florida, yeah.
Yeah, it's the weather is nice, so you can be outside
boxing
year-round boxing.
I thought you were talking about the documentary Florida Man.
No, that exists too.
Yeah, that sucked.
That's a bummer.
It's just a bunch of drunk rednecks.
Like, you don't have those in the other 49 states. They're everywhere.
We have our own special brand of redneckatry.
We do.
Well, because it's that subtropic redneck.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? It's the enlightened redneck.
It's that salt life, Chris.
That salt life.
You ain't about that life.
So stupid.
All right, coming in on Twitter. From Rage Against Twit.
What's up? I love
that
guy.
He has a Black Sea.
That guy's weird, too.
He's a good guy.
He has a Black Sea Review Haiku.
Black Sea Review Haiku. Black Sea is a cool Jude Law submarine heist movie. Very cool. Go ahead. What's his review?
Oceans but greedy.
Okay.
Boy shit escalates quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Tense thriller law leads.
Law leads? Law is lead.
Wait, says boy shit escalates quick or boy shit.
I don't have the punctuation.
Boy
there's
shit.
No punctuation. Yeah, I think
it's boy shit escalates quick.
I think so too. It's like man,
not like boy shit.
Boy
like,
shit escalate quick.
The boy shit. There is a younger character on the crew who's like a boy turned into a man type of thing. 18-year-old. So that's it. Boy shit. There's some boy shit in there. Black Sea's a pretty cool movie. I think it's on the Red Box and stuff like that now. People can check that out. What else we got over there?
And from at Joey UCF.
What's up, Joey?
He's the weirdest.
just calling all our listeners weird. I love this guy.
Just watched Ex Machina and Kingsman.
Nice.
Time for the Crespo Diso bonus episodes.
Yes, we have bonus episodes that we do all the time. Like I said, we're doing a Jurassic World one.
Okay.
There's one for Kingsman Secret Service. Just came out on DVD. Ex Machina. Should we finish up this theater
Ex
run?
Machina.
We did one for Mad Max. We did one for Avengers. So go ahead and check those
out. Should I see Ex Machina?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
That's on my little deal, too.
Yeah, that's one. That's definitely sit back at home and watch it type
All
thing.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
With your lady.
She anything that's not on this planet, she's a fan.
She'll appreciate it.
Yeah, she will.
She'll appreciate it. What else you got?
Kingsman, though. Best movie I've seen in a while. Kind of upset you guys didn't talk it up as much as John Wick.
All right, fair enough. Kingsman's good.
It is.
We really liked it quite a bit. You know, I think the thing is, Kingsman the Secret Service had a bigger profile. More people saw it, had a big opening weekend. Yeah. I feel like it didn't need us to be like, go see it. Not like The
Nobody
Guest.
Nobody saw John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick didn't make that much money. The Guest made no money. Mm. So I feel like those smaller movies, I need to like push them hard.
They need the help.
Yeah, Kingsman is like, it's getting a sequel. You know, it's officially getting a sequel. They're fine. They don't need our help. But Kingsman Secret Service, have you had a chance to see that
one? It's on my list, though. I did see it.
Yeah, that one, another spy, kind of a spy spoof thing. But as opposed to Austin Powers gets goofy, this one gets like violent and over the top and crazy.
Oh.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's really cool. Does it keep going?
Yeah, it was a super fun movie with awesome, ridiculous action scenes. Hashtag knife legs.
Knife Legs. Knife Legs is crazy.
Oh, and Samuel L. Jackson, what the hell? Pretty sure they put every word with the letter S in his lines.
Yeah, his whole movie, he's talking like this. He has a crazy list.
Oh, like a Mike Tyson
it's
type.
Like a mix, it's like a mix between a Mike Tyson and a Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he's just like, motherfucker.
He talks like Mike Tyson, but he dresses like Spike Lee.
Yeah, he does. That's it. That's what it is. But he's a billionaire, insane, like world taking over genius.
It's the best kind of way to be. You're going to be a billionaire.
It's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. Kingsman's really enjoyable. I really like it.
Lots of neon explosions.
So if you have a movie review, hit us up. Many ways you can hit us up, and we'll read them on the show. We are the platform of the people. This is the show for the people. Mm-hmm. That's our Vox Populi. And speaking of getting your voice out there, you guys know about the director Uwe Boll? Yes.
Uwe Boll.
Yeah, I know Drew knows about Uwe Boll.
That's Manute's brother.
He's crazy.
Manute's brother. Manute's German filmmaking brother, Uwe Boll. This guy, he's the guy who made House of the Dead, Dungeon Siege, Postal. He takes kind of shitty video games and makes them into way worse movies.
Yes.
Horrible, horrible movies. His movies are terrible. And he was trying to get a Kickstarter going to make a Rampage 3.
Okay.
First he tried to GoFundMe, and then he tried a Kickstarter.
Then he's just flipping counts.
He's not making any money. No one wants to give this guy money to make his movies because they are terrible. So then he released the video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play you this video. Oh, my God. It's about a minute long. This is Dr. Uwe Boll. Here's a picture. That's what he looks like. German bald dude. All right, 840s.
Man, that's about right.
This is him pretty much addressing his haters.
So, yes, Uwe Boll, and that is the last update. We have only 4 days to do with the Rampage campaign. And that was my third campaign now after Postal 2 failed, after Indiegogo for Rampage 3 failed. And now Kickstarter failed too. And basically my message is, fuck yourself. Because that is so fucking absurd. What retarded amateur idiots collecting money on that absurd website, you know? We get approached by people like Kickstarter. Do it, do it. And you have hundreds, thousands of people contacting you to make a fast dime to say, I can push your campaign and I get 10% of whatever you collect. And it's all fucking bullshit. I will never do it in my life again. For me, crowdfunding is absolutely dead. Goodbye. And it looks like nobody gives a shit about Rampage 3, so maybe I shouldn't do it then. I have enough money to play golf till I'm dead. And I was willing to do all of this as the campaigns for to make any money. I want to do Rampage 3 because it is an important movie. But it looks like you're easier giving $600,000 if you make a movie about some retarded wizard in the forest or for another whatever Marvel Avengers bullshit dirt. So goodbye and goodbye Hollywood.
Goodbye, goodbye Hollywood.
Oh man, I like that.
I really hope so. He makes garbage movies.
He makes stores.
Yeah, but he makes good YouTube videos that, going off on people.
He should just make these YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That was entertaining. That was the most entertaining minute and a half Uwe Boll has ever produced in his life.
You are correct, sir.
Mm. That was fun. I like the Marvel's Avengers bullshit dirt.
He calls it bullshit, then throws something extra on the end of it. Yeah, I got to start doing that.
And he's like, I need your money, but I have enough money to go play golf until I die, so fuck you.
So he should.
You stupid Americans.
Yeah, he's, oh man. One of the worst filmmakers out there, and looks like the world just told him to go fuck himself.
You know who's laughing
at
that? That's
his response.
And he just like, go fuck yourself.
You know, probably, look at the comments, probably, M. Night Shyamalan.
He's like, I'll take that money.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take that Indiegogo money. Oh man, that made me laugh so much. That's good stuff. All right, it's brings us to the end of the show, so it is time for some lightning round. Here we go, what's this?
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, while we do this, Drew, Sir Cocker, would you mind getting the swag baggery out of the other room there real quick? I forgot to grab it on the break. Thank you very much. And while we do that, Kevin, I got 10 questions here for you.
All right.
Just give me the answers as fast as you can think of them.
Okay.
And then we'll get ready to start.
The other room, over there.
There's so many rooms now to go through.
Questions already.
All right, here we go. All number one, you ready?
All right.
Number one, go. What is the what?
What is the what?
Mm-hmm.
It's a dog.
Number two, do androids dream of electric sheep?
No, they don't.
Number three, they shoot horses, don't they?
That's the question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Number four, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Number five, if life is a bowl of cherries, what am I doing in the pit?
Wow, that's a very good question. That's my answer.
All right, number six, why do men have nipples?
Because eventually someone will suckle them and it will produce something.
All right, take it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We have to be something. Equipped for that.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Number seven, how do dinosaurs say goodnight?
They vomit.
Number eight, what is to be done?
Take a shit.
Number nine, does the noise in my head bother you?
Only when I hear it.
Number 10, who pushed Humpty Dumpty?
It was the king.
The king
did. He set him up. Yeah, he snuck out at night and doing all kind of dirty shit.
Goddamn king. Thank you so much, Kevin. Right. We appreciate it. All right, Drew brought all the stuff out. Drew, I appreciate it. We have your swag bags here. You've seen those before.
Yes.
Green bag, blue bag, white bag. Which one would you like?
Green bag. Green bag. I'm a green man.
Drew, go ahead and take that green bag. All right. Break it out. Tell Kevin what kind of swag he gets to take home today.
Sir, you're the proud owner of a pair of $1 patriotic novelty glasses.
Oh,
nice.
Ah, the 4th of July's covered up.
They're even the shade glasses, too.
We got you a Hoppin' Easter bunny slingshot.
A Hoppin' Easter.
There you go.
Bunny slingshot.
Only a couple months after Easter. No
that's
problem.
That's cool. No, I'm going to sling these bunnies.
Age 6 plus, watch them fly. Air-powered air foam mini rockets. You get 8 of them.
The dog would like this, but he'll probably eat them.
He will eat them.
Yeah.
We got you a pack of wiggle eyes, 75 of them to be exact.
Yeah, we talked about wiggle eyes earlier.
Yeah, there you go. You can put the wiggle eyes on the sock and have some dinosaur battles.
I'm going to make a sock puppet.
A lollipop made in China.
Superhero lollipop. It's got a mask.
I'll eat that in the U.S.
And Treasure Hunt $1.95, a copy of Superman Returns, the movie.
Hey. Is this the one where they had the other dude?
It was Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor and Brandon Routh. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I still like Superman.
Yeah,
and
it's
a whole bunch
one.
Of stickers, including the one that you like the best.
Oh, ooh, good. I'm putting that on my sticker wall.
Okay, so go ahead and put all that back in the bag there. Pack all that right back up because now, Kevin, you have a decision to make. All right. The show is always evolving. This is the first time you had this decision to make. All
right.
You can take that back home. All that stuff is yours. Or we put it away. All
right.
And you take what's in the box right next to you, sir.
Nothing!
No, not that one.
You pushed the right button.
What's in the box?
Aw, oh, man.
What's in the box?
Okay, I got to say this. Since one of my favorite shows ever is Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal, yes,
right,
exactly.
Right, right,
yes,
right.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, it wouldn't even be good if I didn't take what's in the box.
It's up to you. Some people have taken the box. Some people have not.
I gotta go with the box. I gotta go with the box.
Putting the bag away, you're going with what's in the box?
Oh, man, but I want those glasses. Okay, all right, the box.
We're going with the box. Okay, here we go. Drew, if you don't mind, it is time to show Kevin.
And I'm okay because there's no holes in the box, so I know there's no
nothing
living.
Nothing living. All right, here we go. Go ahead.
There might be a snake in the box.
No snake in the box. I can't. You know me.
Wait a minute, where's the cat? Drew wouldn't put the cat in the box.
All right,
you can handle no snakes.
I can't handle no snakes. All right, here we go. What's in the box?
Hey! Book of the Beppo! Yeah. Gift certificate! Man, this is awesome!
Here you go!
Aw, man, I'm gonna give me some.
Get some meatballs.
Garlic bread, one meatball.
One big old meatball.
Big fat ass softball meatball.
There you go.
Man, I'm gonna eat this in good health.
It's an actual thing.
Yeah.
An actual prize. Yeah, there you go.
At first, I didn't see anything. I was like, whoa, what's this?
Yeah.
I was thinking it was gonna be a snake.
One day the box will be empty.
Okay.
But not today. You get the gift certificate. Congratulations, sir.
I like it.
Thank you very much. Kevin, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, no, thanks for having me, man.
Really appreciate it.
Next time I'll watch some movies.
Yeah. You can if you want to.
Yeah.
No big deal. We can get through it anyway.
Yeah, you guys make your show like the movies that you don't have to see the first ones. You know, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we just talk about shit.
Yeah.
You don't got to see the movies.
Okay.
We don't know what we're talking about.
Nope.
Drew Zakogra, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening, people. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week with episode 128 and a bonus episode of Jurassic World.
128 will be great.
128 will be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So remember, support R-rated movies. Take your money out of the banks and support delicious beer makers. We're out of here.
How long you let this go for?
I don't know how long it is.
All right. It goes like 10 more minutes.
I think like maybe 3 minutes. Or it could just end.
What instrument is that?
It's like an organ. There's a 70s. It's all 70s.
But I don't know what the lead instrument is.
That's a trumpet.
Yeah.
it's got to be a keyboard.
This sounds like some Quincy Jones
like some,
type
like
shit.
Like some synthy type stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it was written in the 70s.
Somebody need to remix this.
It's such a good song.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's good as it is. Imagine adding a beat to it or something.
It will forever make you feel like you won something.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I play it. Go out every show with a smile. All right, so here we go, guys. Thank you.
Paper, I'm not supposed to like it.
Yeah.
When I watch it, I'm like, damn, they got me.
They get you.
Yeah.
Well, it's got, I mean, Terrence Howard's pretty good.
And it's some really strong.
And Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
She's good.
They're very good. And there's some very strong issues they bring up, too.
Well, they're addressing, like, the perception of homosexuality that's in like, rap culture and stuff.
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge.
That's a big deal, man, because homophobia is rampant in the hip-hop community.
And, yeah, and the gay dude is, like, the most talented guy on the show.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I gotta get around to
these shows. He's like Drake.
I gotta get around to these shows. Oh, Drake, yeah. He's like, Madonna kissed me black. yeah, that's